Blog Talk Radio.
Hearing me, you shouldn't. Anyway, we're trying to sit here and get things all squared away and trying to figure out what is going on. Tonight we're actually putting ourselves in a situation of doing readings too as well. So if you want to give a reading or get a reading, give us a call. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. And I really can't tell if you can hear me or not. I'm actually trying to do some things here to refresh the page. It doesn't seem like things are really kicking in just yet. I don't know what's going on. But like I said before, we're going to get it squared away, so work with us here. Sometimes I don't understand what the hell was wrong with the freaking browsers. You know what I mean? Let's see. I'm actually trying to That didn't make any sense. Anyway. Well, if you guys can all hear me, I'm trying to get things squared away here. Things just ain't kicking in fast. So, see something here. Problem is, we can't get anybody to freaking. Let's try this again. All right. How do you refresh the page? Then we get this thing going on. Refresh everything going on. You know, I'm trying to put things in perspective here. It's amazing how these things have a tendency to fall apart when you try to put them together. And more time. Last night, things went pretty smoothly, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck. Try to repeat what I did last night. Now it's saying we don't have permission to log into Blog Talk Radio. Huh? Try this again. Let's see. I'm going to take a break for a minute to try to get this. Oh, there we are. We are on the air. Welcome, everybody. How you doing tonight? It's amazing when you figure out that you're actually on the air. Well, do some clicking. Okay. Area code 510. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
How are you tonight?
I don't know, man. It's one of those things where everything's kind of freaking weird. I'm trying to get things squared away. I just figured out what I did wrong, too. What I did was I used to go through my Skype, right? Well, for some reason, I tried to go through Skype earlier, and it said you can't do this because you need Skype credit. And I'm like, well, isn't Blog Talk Radio? It was Skype, you know, Skype, and I'm on Skype. So I thought Skype to Skype would work. It has before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we got everything squared away.
Well, the funny thing about it is I went through Skype on my computer, but for some reason going through Skype on my phone, I just called straight through again. No problem.
Wow. Yeah, that's weird.
It is weird. So I'm sitting there trying to figure it out. So, sweetie, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Shaquita.
And how are you?
I'm doing well. I can't really complain.
I was sitting there looking at the thing going, okay, I just figured out some things. And I said, well, since everybody can hear me, you know, definitely give us a call in here at 646-721-9031. If I said it too fast, not too bad. But I'll slow down. I'm just kidding. The number is 646-721-9031. So give us a call. Answer some questions for you. It'd be great. So how can we answer some questions for you tonight?
Well, I'm a little down because of a situation that I'm dealing with someone I'm interested in. His name is Shamari. And basically, we both have commitment phobias, and I feel a real strong connection with him, and I just want to see, you know, what he's thinking maybe, or what would maybe come out of this. Is it over between us? You know, just whatever you get would be great.
Okay. All right. So you're starting to look at the situation. You actually already see the ideal connections you already have between the two of you, right?
Yeah, we have a really strong connection.
Okay, so when you sit and trust that strong connection, what do you feel? So the idea of what we're trying to do here is the idea of helping you understand that if you are connected to somebody and have any kind of relationship that would go any distance, is to also be aware of the connection that you do have with each other. And that's how you... Because when we talk about significant others, we're actually talking about a relationship that you should be able to... You should know the answers.
Well, I do know the answers, but the whole thing is based on our choices as well, because we both are commitment folks in our own way, you know, and we mirror each other a lot in very good ways, and in this way, just this one hurdle in regards to us being commitment folks. So I guess my question is not whether or not it's meant to be, but whether or not we will... what do you call, cohesively work together to be together, or will we both just kind of hide behind our fears? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, when we look at the situation, let's take a look at the situation. First of all, you sit here and say you guys mirror each other. Okay? I've always said that if two people can learn from the reflections they give each other, then they get closer. If they don't, then they usually get pushed away from each other, because what happens is, like, for example, in the process of your fear of commitment, that say the guy that you're talking about does mean things to you. He doesn't just see you; he also sees those things too as well. So he has a tendency to he sees the reflection, but instead of learning from it, he runs from it. So you see, the key here is for two people to learn how to see the reflections, learn from them, and change accordingly to realize we do have these problems. The only way you can convert that or revert that is the idea of realizing what's the opposite of commitment. And then you sit here and take it one step further and say, okay, I'm scared of that. Ask yourself, why am I scared of commitment? Sometimes we have two sides of the sword here, okay? Some people are scared to death of the of the commitment because they just might actually get success. And other people are scared of commitment because of what they've been through. I guess in
right.
the two of you, yeah. When we sit here and look at the two of you, we see two people who've gone through things differently, as in been hurt.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to, it's like this. The key is when we sit here and start working with people and say, okay, you want this. You can feel it. And it seems like the real true question here is, what do I do to get it? What you need to do is you need to reaffirm it. As in what I'm saying is, you did affirm it when that's what brought you two together. When we say reaffirm it, it means really get really down into the subject of exactly what you want to happen in this situation. And then forget the freaking thing as in the phobia. Those phobias are being reflected back and forth to each other because you're both the same way, but you've also been brought together to actually face that. And it's one of those questions. You're ready to face that. Now, when I look at it, from my point of view, I say, yeah, you're both ready to face it because realistically, you are. It's almost like you want to sit there and change. But with him, that's the problem. He sees it too. He's just not open to a change as you are. But the one thing I do see here is the more that you focus on you and working with your phobias and your issues and your concerns, and the more you work your way through those things and resolve those things, the more he sees a different reflection. Which also helps him do the same thing. That's why he's slow at it. The reason he's slow at it is because he's waiting for you to take the initiative to take the lead. That's anticipation. Don't look at it like I don't want to do all the work. What you're doing here is you're investing in yourself. Okay? That's what's in
yeah.
You should look at it like that. I need to go within myself to get a different outcome. Because we always say that. You change within yourself, you change the outer. The outer will change along with you. And since he's part of that outer, then he will also change as well. This is not a manipulation in kind of case. No. You're just giving him a different example, a different reflection. What we're trying to do here is to realize one thing. We can't do anything for nobody. We can't change nobody. We can't do it for them. We can sure damn do it for ourselves. And when we know for a fact that when we change within ourselves, we definitely always see a difference on the outside. It's just the idea when we sit here and ask you, are you ready for that change? Because sometimes change can be drastic to the point where the actor who's playing your boyfriend, maybe a different actor, another stand-in, but you will still definitely get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking you, if you're ready for that kind of change. To actually trust that you need to go within yourself and do that work. And whatever happens on the outside, you know it's happened because of what you've done with yourself. It's in your best interest. It's what's good for you. And if this particular person we're talking about is not good for you, then it will play out just like that, but you will definitely get the outcome. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand completely what you're saying, and that's something that I've intended on doing from jump, you know. But I think, like you said, the way I look at it is, like, I don't want to do all the work. I don't want to wait for a guy to decide on me, and then my feelings are hurt, you know, that type of thing. But I did want to ask you, I believe it was Wednesday night, he and I actually had a conversation to where we both kind of backed away from each other because of our phobia. Do you see us coming together to try to resolve this, or will it take some time?
I tell you like this. I feel like if you just do half the work that I suggest that you do, the answer would be yes. Because I will definitely tell people flat out, the situations, the relationships, people have to realize you have to work on your own issues. But there are issues within the relationship that can't be dealt with unless you are in a relationship. So the idea of trusting each other.
Right.
Yes, with the question of you guys coming back together. But I'm just saying, it's like looking at the situation with your boyfriend. It's okay. He's not making any kind of initiative. But it's also asking you, are you waiting for something to happen here? And then we have to take another step back and look at the situation and say, okay, is the waiting part the problem? Because you got to sit and think about this. It's not your responsibility to make him happy. It's not his responsibility to make you happy.
Right.
That's your responsibility. So you look at the situation and say, I'm not getting back what I should be getting back. Then you ask yourself, what are you giving out? Is it conditional or is it unconditional? Because when we conditionally love people, that means we're only willing to go so far. But when we unconditionally love people, we have a tendency to go to the distance. That's because we usually get it back, so we have no problem doing that, so we spontaneously just give. But, you know, when you such a look at the situation of all the things that are negative happening in your life, it's just one of those prime examples that you're not loving enough. What we're saying by that is, when you send love out, it comes back. That's how you attract everything in your life. And the bad things you attract into your life is because of the lack of.
Yeah. I guess that's my biggest hurdle. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. That's my biggest hurdle to really, like you said, trust the fact that I guess he's worthy of me to put myself out there because of my phobia. And I don't know. I'm not saying that he doesn't put in the effort, but when you're telling me that you have these commitment phobias and I have the same commitment phobias, I'm like, okay, time to run. You know, so.
But we still have to look at the reflection, don't we? Why was you guys attracted to each other in the first place? Could it be to work through that phobia? Because here we are, we have two people. There's a lot of people, you know, all these kind of different scenarios out there. People say, you know, two people, I mean, there's so many differences. You know, like attracts like, and then we have these other people saying that these two people are totally opposite of each other.
Uh-huh.
But then we look on, sometimes people on the outside see something different. And all we're saying is those are the times you take a step back to say, okay, what are they looking at, what are they seeing? Now, he's sitting here telling you, and I swear when I sit here pick up on the situation itself, you know, he's telling you I have these commitment phobias, and you're sitting there going, is he really telling you, or is he making excuses?
I think he's making excuses, like me.
Yeah.
I'm making excuses, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, you learned from the reflection. What do you do about it? You know, we've always said this. If you're judging and condemning someone else, basically you're judging and condemning yourself.
Right.
So if you look at that whole big situation of a reflection, which is drastic, but we do know they happen, but we also know that more than likely, those situations also need drastic change. So we need to listen. I was actually sitting here thinking about this too, and I was looking at your area code, and I'm like, oh, we didn't look it up in the Angel Book. See what that means? I was looking it up as we speak. 510. I'm serious. I just got fascination with those things. I know for a fact that when I was sitting there in Colorado and I would look up numbers while I was working in my shop and I was having problems with certain situations, whatever I found in the book as in the definition of that number was always a realization of what to do in the situation I was in. So I kind of got caught up in the whole thing because this here saying 510 means congratulations. Your new spiritual practices have elevated your thoughts and your spiritual frequencies stay positive as your thoughts are creating healthy changes in your life. So if you look at the situation, what that means, it's like almost affirming that if you put in consideration of what I've given to you as the messages that have come through, that would put you in that place. So it's a real spiritual. We've also said situations, sometimes they don't make sense to us until we actually proceed to go through them. And that's where we make that decision to actually go, okay, let's try this out, because what's going on right now and how you're approaching it, not working. That's a definite. So what we're trying to do is give you an alternative and also point out to you that what you're doing right now is not working. Okay, let's find something that is working. And since we haven't really tried this and it's something new to you, give it a shot. See what happens. And also, don't worry. We can also throw out some cards for you.
Okay.
I'm going to do three-card pyramid for you real quick.
All right,
all I need from you, all I need for you to do is I'm going to start shuffling, relax, take three deep breaths, and tell me when to stop.
Okay, great.
Me if I should cut the deck or leave it the way it is.
Leave it the way it is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. When we sit here and look at the situation, we got three cards here, okay? We got Archangel Raziel, it's an Archangel card, clairvoyant. This is basically saying, the card basically says that he's helping you with your spiritual sight to awaken it fully so you can see heavenly love. See things for what they are. When we sit here talking about follow your heart, that's what we're saying. When you follow your heart, it illuminates your mind. So therefore, you see what you feel. No illusion, you can look past them. They're also emphasizing on clairvoyancy, to see things for what they are. You sit here and said to yourself, for the situation, that you can see it.
Yeah, I can, actually.
Mm-hmm. So
and I've been showed a lot. I'm sorry?
Right. No, I'm just saying, in the process, the second card was answer prayers. So what they're saying to you is, what you're seeing is answering your prayers and looking for the outcome. The next thing is, so I thought was kind of interesting in itself, is manifestation card. It's an angel card, manifestation. So what it's saying is, you can manifest things by what you see, by doing what you need to do. You see the situation of commitment. You also see the excuses. In the process of excuses, the person who needs to trust too as well, you're trying to trust him, he's trying to trust himself. So the excuses actually come from a person who is scared to give because he's scared he can't live up to what you want. Which is kind of funny. He hasn't really asked what you really want.
Exactly.
Assuming.
Yeah, exactly. And I've tried to tell him multiple times what I want, but I don't think he really has shook his perception of what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really my phobia is, like, I don't have a problem with giving my all. I'm just selective on who I give my all to, you know, because I don't want to find myself 10 years down the line back at square A, you know, loving on somebody who hasn't developed into loving me because they have commitment issues. And I think that's my biggest fear. So, I mean, I just really want to know if we'll be able to resolve the issue that we had. Well, it wasn't really a big issue. It's just, both of us playing it safe, I feel like, but I don't know if he'll, you know, contact me again or anything like that.
Yeah. When I look at the situation like this, sweetie, I keep getting this really strong picture of a person with phobias and the fears are keeping you from seeing the situation for what it is with the guy who can't give you. That's what you see. It's not the idea he can't give it to you. Not allowing himself to do because of his own fears. So you're reflecting on all levels. That's what they were. That's why they were bringing to the forefront the messages of working on yourself. But he still sees the fears. You try to tell him. Sometimes in the idea of acting these things out, the answer is yes. This thing can come together. So see. We were saying before, the work that you think you have to do and you don't want to do all the work, it's just work you need to do with yourself. The next thing I saw
To sum up what you're saying, I'm sorry, I just want to sum up what you're saying so I understand.
Go ahead.
Basically saying that the more I focus on myself, the more he's going to pursue me because I'm going to be changing within myself, and he's going to see the change and want to be a part of the change. Is that basically what you're telling me?
Exactly. Because, see, the more when he starts seeing more positive things, he's seeing positive things about himself. It gives him the confidence that he can't, because he has the emotion. He has the feeling. It's just the ideal expressing. So your fear is it's not there. So you put all the work into the whole thing, and then he can't give you something because he doesn't have it. And I'm telling you what I see is he does have it. He just has to be able to be comfortable enough to actually express it. The more he sees that through you, the more he gets comfortable with himself. And the more he expresses, the more it comes out. Because these cards were centered. The next two cards I got was angel therapy. This is Archangel Raphael. So it's definitely talking about a healing, but it's also talking about a releasement. Because it's talking about give your cares and worries to the angels and allow them to take your burdens. And you focus on yourself. The next card was clairsentient. Notice your reoccurring physical and emotional feelings that they stigmatize divine guidance. So, like looking at the situation, okay, and asking yourself, as we're having this conversation, how does it resonate with you? Does it feel like something positive? Do you feel the urge to actually initiate these things and put them in the square and start working on yourself? Or do you want to keep focusing on him? And that's what they're saying. It's a choice. It's not a right or wrong choice. It's just the idea of making a choice. Your final card is passion. This is Archangel Hanel. Hanel. It's actually spelled H-A-N-I-E-L. Hanel. This says trust and follow your renewed passion in your love life and career. If you think about that, when you have that kind of renewal, it's usually within you. New things you see about yourself, new passions, that kind of stuff. And then everybody on the outside has a tendency to take notice of who you are because of the changes you're making, especially if they're positive ones. People really take notice of that. For example, I had a lady who was working, who had a job that she hated so much that she was crying and very sad. And then you look at the rest of her life, it's pretty much disarray because of the foundation she has, which is usually what? Usually your career and who you love. And usually if both of those are the same, I love what I do, you love who you're with. Sometimes it doesn't mean you have to change who you're with. It's just the idea of changing whatever is going on in your life that you're not happy with. But sometimes we have to realize, too, with reflections and connections, what you're going through, he reflects and he also expresses it. He may do it on different levels. But it's also showing how unhappy he is with his own life, too, as his own foundation. But when we start working on our foundation and changing that, we always see a difference in everybody around us. And sometimes they disappear. They become a thing of the past because they just wasn't a part of the path we chose. I just get the impression if you really want to get a really feel really confident with the situation in this relationship, I feel like the path that you've chosen, he is on that path. It's just the idea of getting rid of these obstructions between the two of you.
Right, and I mean, I get the whole aspect of me working through me, and then he'll basically kind of make the changes with me. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of at least felt lost, you know, especially how we ended. We had a great night, and it just kind of ended, not really on a bad note, but on that note where it was just like, let's just play it safe, you know, and we both were unhappy. I don't know what he's feeling. I've been picking up a lot on him, but I don't know. I don't mean to focus on him. That's not what I'm trying to do as far as putting all of my energy into him, but I'm just the type of person I love hard, you know, so I'm really trying to decide and decipher that if or when he contacts me, am I going to be willing to do the work? And is he willing to do the work? You know, it got to be a 50-50 thing. So that's really where my trust issue is, you know. Is he going to love as hard as me? And I don't know that. But I hope I hear from him soon, though.
The impression I get of the situation is, like I said before, you know, focus on yourself. But I get like a week.
Oh, okay.
And it really comes to me within a week. It's like 5 days or 6 days or 7 days. I don't even get a day, but it's in a week. So
okay. Will he be, like, really random, or will he want to address the situation?
Actually, it's one of those situations, not either one. It's actually both. The idea of starting off that way, but then you can see the conversation actually leading into the idea of actually discussing.
Oh, okay. He's going to kind of fill me out and then start the conversation. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I've already taken up enough of your time. I really appreciate you giving me clarity on this. Spirit has been talking to me through other people about this situation, so I am glad that, you know, this is the right spirit that's speaking to me,
right.
If that makes sense. But I appreciate you. I really do. And I thank you for your time.
I'm just saying you should take into consideration and think about getting a private session, too, as well, so we can actually go into this thing really deeply.
Yeah, totally. I'll see what happens in about a week, and then I'll give you a call and update you.
Okay, no problem. Looking forward to that call.
All right, thank you so much. You have a great night.
You too, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
You for the call.
You too. Bye.
Happy holidays. And we're going to sit here and go over this whole thing, too. I was trying to figure this thing out. And while we're sitting here trying to figure this thing out, I'll just give you the lowdown. We were talking about private readings. I do private readings as well. And basically how it goes right now, we're having a holiday special until the end of the year, or however you want to put look at it, the end of the year, beginning of next year, where we're looking at a lot of things. But how it goes is you want to get one of those private sessions. Actually, right now, it's for a 60-minute session, it's $33.33. If you want to get a 40-minute session, that's actually $22.22. If you want to get a 20-minute session, that's $11.11. And we also have another session you can use if you like. It's called a one-card angel reading, which is usually about a 15-minute reading, and that's $9.99. Now, if you want to take advantage of the other things I've said before, I also do life coaching and relationship counseling, and some people actually like to have a little bit of longer time. And for a 90-minute session, relationship counseling and life coaching, and if you want to, I've done this before in process, if you want to call for a 90-minute session, which is $77.77, you actually get a full 7-card angel reading. You actually get a full Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael reading. The cards, I have the two decks that I have, they're actually both put together. And you also get a past life reading and regression. It's like a combination of both. Just in case we have a tough time of helping you to relax enough to actually do the regression part, we can actually throw the reading in too as well to get the information and also get the rest of the story. And like I said, those sessions are 90-minute sessions, and they're only $77.77. So get in there, take advantage of those prices, and it's good until the end of the year. And even if you're not, like you might not think you're in it for a reading, it is the holiday season, so there, jump in there and get one for a family member or for a friend. Or if you got somebody you think would really be, one of these readings would really be helpful, but you're not really sure how to do it because you've been talking to them, and they're just not really listening, but you think they might actually listen if they was in a reading. We'll take the next step and actually purchase that for them. You can go to my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We actually have a page for gift certificates. And we also were thinking about the holiday season too as well. We're actually trying to take the show and basically bring it up to a premium plot, I can say, premium plus, where we can actually do a 3-hour show and actually give us a little more time to actually get in there and help, you know, more people. And it's like a co-creation of working together and putting this thing together. So if you want to donate to the show, also contact us through a website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or you can give me a call at 740-500-8863, or you can call me through Skype. And that number is 740-601-9835, whichever's more convenient for you. And we also have this other thing you'll probably see on there, too, where it's like donate to my fund, where I'm actually trying to raise money to go to England and to actually finish up some, and go to college down there. To actually, it's a college for spiritualists, mediums, and psychics, so they can have a chance to actually take the gifts that they already have and to really improve on them. And then that's one of my goals. I feel like if I can go there and really work on my the gifts that I already have and enhance those by at least tenfold, it would be so much to be in a position like that to give back even more. So, everybody out there, if you want to help out and get me there and help me to support the show, donate to the show by calling 740-500-8863. Or call through Skype, which is 740-601-9835. Or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And right now it's 12:10 here, 12:11 now, a.m. here on the East Coast, here in Ohio, where we're broadcasting from. I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman, and this is Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. And if you've just tuned in, welcome to the show. And if you want to call in and get a question or two answered here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And we're actually trying to put some things together here. It's Mercury. We're not going to set our feet in that Mercury thing. Mercury is going retrograde, so everything's working perfectly, correct? And if you're out there thinking otherwise, work with me here. I'm trying to get some things to work in our favor. So everything is working in our favor, correct? That's what we look at it. It's driving me crazy. We're trying to click, 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 and do our little thing here. Good. Okay. We're going to go into, I was actually thinking of looking at some things here. And we were looking over this one. People looking for affirmation, even things to work before possible. I just going to see this thing in the back of the book. I'm going to bring it on real quick. Take a couple of minutes. We'll just reset this book to give you an idea of some of the things you can do. And it goes like this. It's actually a thought form for abundance. All right? And it says, I am the spirit of infinite plenty, individualized. I am boundless, abundance, and radiant expression. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. I am a mighty money magnet, and oceans of money engulf me. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness. I am boundlessly supplied with money. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness. I am boundlessly supplied with money. I now realize my plan for abundant living. I see my bank account continually filled with enough efficiency to meet every need of my service. I lovingly see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all. According to the Father's guidance, I happily see every bill paid now. I joyfully see every obligation that I have. With great delight, I see the continuing flow of this honey used with love and wisdom that I create. Perfect things are going to my highest visions. So you sort of look at that whole thing. What we're focusing on here is one of the things we're focused on. I think a lot of people are not having a lot of money in their lives because they think by focusing on money itself, that's a bad thing. Not realizing, isn't that the objective? You're actually wanting to have more in your life. So instead of putting a limitation on it, why don't you say unlimited? I want to be blessed with an unlimited income this week and unlimited potentials and opportunities to actually be in a position to meet and to see all my bills paid and to meet all my obligations now. Money comes easily and frequently to me now. Or simply put down this week, I think to myself, I just sit and say, I so happy and grateful for the unlimited clients that are coming to me and the unlimited income that I have this week and every week. And thank you for the 20 readings I did today and the incredible income that I was blessed with. And thank you. So put whatever you think you should put in there, even the process of if you want to be something or do something else differently. I'm so happy and grateful the opportunity came to me today to actually be working where my talents are utilized and my gifts are a blessing. And now I'm blessed with an incredible income so therefore I can live exactly where I want to live. So whatever's good for you. It's just wanting another job. I'm so happy and grateful for the opportunity today to actually work somewhere else besides this crazy place. But sometimes you don't want to be negative things. So don't for the negative. Just kind of focus on what you want. All righty. Let's go on to our next caller. Let's go to area code 917. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name?
Yeah, hello.
917.
Hello,
yes,
hello. How are you?
Yes, how are you?
This is Ashiel. I'm good. I had some reading with you in the past. I don't know if you remember, but I had some private reading with you, but I'm just going tonight just to see what 2012 has to offer for me. Hello?
No, I was sitting there. You said that you're looking for some insights on, you know, I didn't hear the last part. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know what's 2012. This is the new year. What's coming up for me?
2012.
Yes.
All right. Take a look at the cards. What are you saying? I'm going to shuffle the cards, and I want you to tell me when to stop shuffling. Like I told the last lady, take 3 deep breaths, let go, and then tell me when to stop, okay?
Mm-hmm. Stop.
Okay. Would you like me to cut the deck?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Looking at the situation here. All right. Well, I see, like, I get the impression when the cards are I look at the cards. The cards are playfulness, body care, and it's an Archangel card for the third card, which is actually Archangel Uriel. Playfulness, body care, and the third one was Archangel Uriel, which that card is, the name of that card is You Know What To Do. So we look at the situation. The first thing that came to me when I first saw the cards here was the ideal. You get the impression that you should be more playful in the beginning and end of the year, where you should be focusing on things as within yourself that you would like to do. Like, it's like putting things in perspective, okay? It's like when I go out and about, what I do is when I go to the grocery store, I have an objective. So I focus on that. I walk in the store, I'm going to get certain things when I go in the store, and I have a tendency to put a little twist on it saying, whatever I want, I get. So therefore, when I walk in the store, I'm going to walk out with that.
Okay.
It seems like everything falls into place. But you also do it in a more playful way. You don't get serious about the whole thing. Have fun with it. And it's talking about body care. It seems like there's been a lot of stress that you put upon yourself. By putting yourself in a situation and being more playful, you also take that stress off your shoulders.
Okay.
It's like, look at this. And then the third card is basically affirming that you know what to do. You just need to trust yourself.
Okay.
As we progress to go further, this is a pyramid. So what we do, we put 3 cards down, we'll put 2 on top of that, and then 1 on top of that, okay? We go to the next section. We have Archangel Raphael, we have Archangel Michael, who is almost in the process of trying to help you really let go of a lot of things. Now, in favor of having a more positive beginning for the next year. It's almost like you're already looking at things differently. And it's almost like they want you to follow through with what you know you need to do, okay?
Okay.
There's also a very strong connection to music.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So Archangel Michael and the music card are together. You also look at the situation. When we look at the cards, there's always 3 cards touching each other. We have Archangel Michael on top of 2 cards, so we have a 3 combo, whereas Archangel Michael's on the playful card. And the body care. So when you look at the situation of a releasement, of how it affects your body in a positive way by going through those, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then we have the music card. So if you do what you know you need to do, and you pay attention to your body, then it's like not just the idea of music itself that you're drawn to, but also the idea of seeing your life in more of a, because some people say rivers, as in the flow of life, but we can also see the flow of music, too. because in the sense of things, you have two things here going along with the vibration of, the, of like music, but also music has a tendency to set a tone to your life that when you listen to certain things, you feel more positive and you feel more happy. And you need to play those. You need to really think about that in the process of the pleasures in your life. Don't put the pleasures on pause as you're trying to sit there and think that you have to take care of making a living. It's the idea of realizing what you're doing here on this planet is you're actually not trying to make a living, make a life. And in the process of making a life, there's many sections of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like taking yourself away from mentality, thinking I have to focus on one or the other, when it's the idea you can have success in all parts of your life. You have a great relationship, great career, great job. And then when you look at the first of the year, you actually feel like the, a lot of, like two of those are going to be fulfilled. Are you, I get the impression that some things with you that you've been taking a lot on. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit here and look at the situation, they're saying you don't need to do that. Day to day, minute by minute, if you're not work and you're not out looking for work and you're at home in a situation where you should be relaxing and letting go of the cares, then that's what you should be doing, not trying to relax. At the same time, you're focusing on tomorrow where I should go to look for work. You see the difference?
Yeah.
Be where you're at. So if you're at the gym, then be at the gym. Nowhere else. Focus on what you're doing at that moment. I guarantee if you do that, you'll have a lot more success in your life of accomplishing what you want. The point of actually declaring exactly what you want too as well. You know, instead of just looking for a job or looking for some kind of change in your life, specify what that change you want to be.
Okay.
And the final card is chakra clearing, which since you've been taking a lot of things on yourself, the process of clearing is also clearing the clutter. You have absorbed a lot of things within yourself. You look at the idea of your solar plex, which is the one of power and control. You get the impression it should be a bright yellow. It's not. It's almost like a vanilla pudding color, which you know vanilla is not exactly yellow. It's kind of a dingy, kind of a...
Mm-hmm.
What's that? French vanilla. So it has like a little dark tint to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not one of those things. So it's not really out of balance a lot, but it definitely needs to be some work on it. So what you really need to do is you need to sit down, if you don't already have some information or books on chakras themselves, to realize you need to do a full chakra clearing on your body, all chakras, but that one particular one you should go back and work on. It's also the ideal... I also get the impression with the throat chakra, too, as well. It should be robin eggs blue, but it seems to be more like a dark blue. So we have some imbalances there, too. So what you need to do is take it back a little further on that one, too. This will put you in a situation of not just being able to speak your mind, but also know what you need to do in the process of any kind of encounter of talking to whoever, if it's in a job interview or just simply being in a position of getting what you want, being able to have that strength to actually voice it. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying, I swear to you, if you start working on these things and start doing these clearings and stuff like that, starting now, it's just, when you look at the idea, the beginning of the year seems very favorable anyway. It's just the idea of clearing all these things out just to make sure that's exactly what happened. That makes sense.
You said you're looking at the beginning of the first of the year. Is that what you said?
Okay, say it one more time.
You said that I'm looking at the beginning of the year. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I felt like there was two changes coming in the beginning of the year.
Really?
One was career, and one was relationship-wise.
Oh. Okay.
Actually, it's
I mean, the beginning of the year, we're talking about 3 weeks from now. You know what I mean?
That's true, too. But I'm sort of looking more in as I look at the situation, it's more in January.
Wow.
Because it's like if you get the impression 2 weeks, It's not 2 weeks from now. It's actually 2 weeks into January.
Wow.
But to get, I'm just saying with the situation of doing the work, doing the chakra clearings, that kind of thing, clarifying exactly what you want, this kind of thing, it's actually what it does, and the idea of clarifying, it speeds things up. Sometimes the idea of not having clear clarity of exactly how you want these things to unfold or even the outcome itself. Once you do, it changes the timing. I think sometimes that's what divine timing means in the first place. When are you ready to let down your resistance to actually let these things be a part of your life? Because it's almost like they're out there waiting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Definitely going to work on that. So the two things, the first one, I kind of, you broke, you know, I kind of missed it a little bit. I know you, the second thing was the relationship. The first thing was?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first thing? The second thing was the relationship.
Oh, career.
Career. Oh, so that's exactly the two things I've been thinking about.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the answers and what you're looking for is coming to you at the beginning of the year. I'm just saying we want to clear all that stuff out of there so make sure that nothing gets pushed back or reflected.
Okay. Sounds good. Definitely going to work on that.
And like I always say, everybody else, and we got some really great prices going on to the end of the year, and we can do about anything you'd like to do in those sessions, too, and even in cleansings and going over, if it's just simply going over different types of meditations and chakra clearing themselves.
Yeah, that's, to be honest with you, that's something I'm not too familiar with. I guess I have to do some research on that. No.
Like I said, if you want to work with me, I got all the information, and I'm done it, and I can actually go through what I think are really, really productive meditation. Okay.
Okay, I have your private number anyway, so I can get in touch with you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
You have a good night.
You too. Thank you for calling. And have a holiday.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Ideal if they think about poop, you know, and wondering how come things are not pooping as fast as they should be, and then looking at the situation changing. Let's see. One more time. I was actually going over some people with the cars, guys. I wanted to turn and look at something. Maybe in some sense of the word, I forgot to look up your number in the book. Feel free to remind, and we'll go over that for you. Journeyman Spiritual Link at 12:32 a.m. here on the East Coast. And I don't know how much time we actually have in the show because I'm sitting here looking at time. And the one thing I can't find here is it's saying 3 hours. That's not right. 3 hours and 56 minutes. So anyway, I actually clicked on somebody, and I'm hoping they want to come on the show too. It's actually area code 206. Welcome to the show. How are you? If you have a couple questions, feel free to ask. What's your name? Area code 206. Are you there? See if we can get a clarification on this whole thing. Go back and forth. We're actually giving the free call. Clicking and reaffirming. You can actually drive your freaking nuts. So 206, can you hear me? Area code 206. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And I was just curious if you actually want to come on the show, because these new cues that they have us now don't have hands up anymore. They just don't have any hands up, so sometimes we really don't know who wants to be on and who doesn't, so we're just going to click to see what's up.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
So 206, what's your name?
Oh, it's Dee.
Your name is Steve?
No, D.
Oh, I'm sorry, D.
Yeah.
Sorry, it sounded like Steve, so don't get
mad at me. Sorry. I didn't know about the whole hand thing. So, So are you, and I apologize, I was just kind of calling to listen in, but are you taking questions and readings for tonight?
Yeah, most definitely. Okay. I mean, like I said before, we try to do Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, but nothing but readings. And during the week, we're actually thinking we do a show on Wednesday. We do a show on Wednesday night where I have a tendency to let myself go freely and just talk about whatever. And usually we have a tendency to talk on the topics like Atlantis and things like that. We're actually putting a show together, too, where we're doing shows in the morning. What we're going to try to do is start doing a show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Around 11 o'clock a.m., 10:30, maybe a little earlier than that. But we really want to talk on the situation of really getting deep into Atlantis, because I think a lot of concepts we're hearing now, they always want to trace it back to alien astronauts. And I'm like, why can't we trace it back to our own planet? And maybe we are the human race itself may have been more advanced to the point where we've kind of forgotten things about ourselves. I mean, if you look at Adam and Eve, of being perfect beings and having a perfect life, and all of a sudden things just change drastically, you know, where things could be pointed out of saying, could this be also the human race having abilities? Because we're just now coming into a lot of meditation and realizing that our talents and realizing just our, we're realizing our own strength, what we can actually do with our lives. So, you know, it's like reaffirming ourselves of things we already knew how to do.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, trace it back to, it was kind of funny too, because I was actually watching last night, Alien Astronauts, the series. And I was sitting watching them as they point things out to you. And they point things, they always want to go in the directions of aliens. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to look at the situation going, If I was an alien from a, and we know for a fact that we've never found any life in our solar system, and to get to the outer, you know, to the outer perimeter of this solar system, it's a pretty, you know, we're talking years.
Yeah.
So whoever decides who wants to come here would have to have some, you know, some really involved technology. So they were talking about these aliens coming here, and they're wearing gear and stuff like we did in our early ages of our space travel. And I'm thinking to myself, if we have these alien astronauts that are being drawn and predicted as people in these kind of situations, it sounds like it's the infancy of their own space program. So how in the hell can they get here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking about maybe what we're seeing here is we're seeing Atlantis as in how much influence did it really have over the planet, and how much are we still seeing, and how much we're missing. We're missing, you know, being informed in certain things, but being misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to correct those things. We've actually, I used to have my show in the mornings. We used to trace everything and say, okay, let's take a topic and see if we can trace it back to Atlantis. So we actually had the Great Pyramid was one of our shows where we actually
mm-hmm.
did visions. We were doing past lives. And we started picking up on people who were actually part of the Atlantean civilization, who actually left there because of destruction and all kinds of mishap, and ventured into the desert, and ended up where the Egyptians were, which it was also proven that the Egyptians at one time were just wandering in the desert, and all of a sudden they stopped wandering and create this and built this great civilization. What was the motivation?
Mm-hmm.
To be people from Atlantis who already had that, who motivated people and worked with them to create another civilization. And amidst the whole thing, getting up the whole thing, we actually had some visions too of actually the person who built the Great Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on there of actually having seen Khufu, who actually built the Great Pyramid, totally, as being one of the last Atlanteans, descendants,
mm-hmm.
having these great abilities. And it's, you mm-hmm. know, having the ability to, telepathic abilities to move things. That he was actually the one who actually built the pyramid itself. And everybody else that you saw in the process of building the pyramid were actually building, which we know for a fact that these things existed too, the temples and stuff that are around the Great Pyramid. And even there's little pyramids around there too. But I was sort of telling a friend of mine, I was like, every time I focused on any kind of vision I saw there, of past lives, working with people, all I saw was in a distance where you saw people, saw this Great Pyramid. And every time you see a vision, you saw a different lapse in time where the pyramid was getting bigger, but you never actually saw anybody working on it.
Hmm.
Nothing was happening. But the people I did the readings for in the past lives were working as in this great workforce of 300,000, but they wasn't actually working on the pyramid. They were distant from it, of actually building temples and that kind of thing. And actually, imagine this. You got somebody who can put the stones in place and build the pyramid, but he still had to have a workforce to actually carve those stones out.
Right.
And quarry those stones and do the whole freaking bit and everything. That the vision actually played itself out, that this person actually did build a great pyramid, but he was also had this arrogance about himself.
Mm-hmm.
That he pushed himself past his limits and had an aneurysm and killed himself.
Huh.
Because he overexerted himself. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
in the process of all that thing going on, there you go. A lot of things happened. Plus, we started telling this too, but people didn't realize that there was actually four pyramids, not just three. And there's all the things that go along with it that you start wondering about what you don't know that could actually fill in the, we used to call the show the missing spiritual link. And we're just
uh-huh.
like putting things into missing pieces. Now, if you,
mm-hmm.
if you get a more bigger, get a more fuller picture of what's actually going on.
Right.
They actually have pictures in the, and some, they actually have hieroglyphics. And actually dictate and tell you how they did the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're played out, you ever have a situation where people try to convince you of something, and the more they try to convince
mm-hmm.
you of that, the more you think they're lying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or there's something that's different in the story, and that's what we got. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there going, okay. And they've actually done this. They've calculated it up and said it took them 28 years, about 28 years to build the Great Pyramid. They said if you actually do the calculations on that, that means they was putting
mm-hmm.
a block in place about every 4 to 5 minutes.
One
also,
block for every 4 to 5 days, you said?
No. It was a block being put in. In order to hit that time frame of 28 years, a block
mm-hmm.
had to be put in every 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay, gotcha.
So when we sort of look at the situation, we know some of these stones were in tons. You ask yourself the situation, why? Sometimes you get the impression it's not the ideal that they built them that way because they wanted them things to last forever, but I felt like sometimes there was some arrogance in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
She basically pushed the limits. What can I do? And if you see, if you think about the vision that came along with that, it was somebody who pushed the exerted it. We had a thing where we sent it saying, it makes perfect sense if you have some kind of influence like that because the pharaohs have always been depicted as God. So you ask yourself, you trace it back to the source. Why? Would they be, what did they do? What can
mm-hmm.
they do to actually
right.
make people have that presence that they're like God? So if you trace it back to the source, even some of the story, it would make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of either having people want to say aliens, but I want to say Atlanteans, who were able to control the elements. And it was actually been proven that they used to work with nature itself hand in hand. You have that kind of mixture.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also even things within our own body, and some organs and things that we don't understand that could actually then transfer of energy that the Atlanteans
mm-hmm.
had been told. We've had stories where they were talking about crystals and transfer of energy and being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So put it all together, you start seeing things in a different light of not just people walking around in robes, but also people with constantly pushing the limits, but also doing it in a way that it benefits not just themselves, but it benefits nature and it benefits society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lose that, that's when you have the great fall.
Wow.
I think it's kind of a lesson for ourselves.
Huh? Right.
But when I sit here and saw the whole thing, it's like some visions I saw, things I've been picking up, where I just wanted to express those and say I got the theory about the thing where we keep saying aliens, but I think maybe we should be using another name with the A on the beginning of it. It's not aliens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to make us feel more, I think it would make us feel more at home to realize that maybe the influences we're looking at is the ideal within our own confines of our own humanity, our own society,
mm-hmm.
instead of
mm-hmm.
out there on the planet. This one guy came to me and said, well, how about the UFOs and the connection there? I said, well, I also had a vision about that too, where Atlantis didn't just have a great ship port, they also had a great space port. They were already into all this stuff. This is what the idea brought down the downfall. These are things you don't hear about.
Mm-hmm.
What's the idea that you have a great society focusing on the positive energy to the point where you've actually taken that positive energy that's being created by the masses and mass consciousness as in a positive way, where you can actually use crystals to harness that energy to create your own energy source that's self-containing, self-sustaining too. Because one society works together as a whole in a positive direction, in a positive way, it works for you. If it doesn't, it works against you. That sounds like the economy, doesn't it? But if you sort of look at the economy, it's based on human beings. If there wasn't human beings on this planet, we would not have an economy. So therefore, it also doesn't have it. It's like using it as in our... It's like we need to focus in a positive way to actually have the economy work in our favor. We don't realize that we have that control sometimes, because if you listen to the news, the economy is going this way or the economy is going that, like it's an entity and has a mind of its own, not realizing the only reason it even exists is because of us. So therefore, if that's the case, this is mass consciousness. Like I was focusing on this too. Have you ever noticed that there's sometimes, like on a certain day, it seems like things are very positive. Could it be that mass consciousness on that day is going in the same direction in a positive way? And then we have other days where it's like, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yes. I was actually telling a friend of mine, I was like, I think that's true too. He goes, why is that? Well, I noticed when me and my girlfriend were really doing good, the world seemed great.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened was it was one more person who came over to the positive side of mass consciousness. So things were going good. But when she decided to go back to the negative part and start feeding into what? Feeding into her fears. The direction was pulled or weakened or just the other thing. So you can see that's almost like an example to everybody out there. But when you focus on, when you let your fears control you, it can do some really drastic things to your life. But when you
uh-huh.
not to feed into those and you decided to focus on exactly what you do want, but no restrictions or any kind of fear, you get these really positive outcomes. If we could just learn how to do that on a continuous basis, then we'd have that kind of thing going on in our lives every day. But one thing we do have to do, which I think is too, since we're all here, think about it, even says in the Bible, when you die and you go to go for Judgment Day. It's just you and God. Now, if we should take that back a little bit, look at ourselves, it's basically focusing on individuality, which means what is your reality? Not what Joe's reality is, but what is your reality? Because his sucks. He's like, he's living in the streets. He's got this different format about things, and you just don't agree with that. And that's the whole thing, it's pointing out to you. You don't agree with that. So therefore, won't you clearly clarify exactly what that means to you and then manifest that? Because a lot of us have a tendency to get caught up in the world thinking, oh, well, these people over here are starving. But we don't realize if we start focusing on exactly what we want to do with our lives and what we want to do, how we want to live our lives, who we want to be with, it affects the world. It affects the world in a very positive way, and the masses. It sets a chain reaction, which has been proven with the butterfly effect, that what you do affects everybody in this world. So therefore, the ideal of those people that are starving could be the idea of an imbalance within the world because of something you haven't done within yourself, of actually putting yourself in a situation of thinking you have to settle for things when you should have been focusing on exactly what you wanted, as in the career. Because people think, okay, if I do what I want to do, well, there's people over there. Well, if you live in a better way in your life, and you want to contribute to them financially, you'd be in a better place, wouldn't you? That all affects
Probably, yes.
Ways. Yes. So, sweetie, what is your name?
Dee.
I just want to clarify that, because it's kind of, I'm going to smack myself, because I actually have a daughter named Dee.
Oh.
Yeah, her name is actually Donna.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I should know that, but we call her Dee Dee. And it was, like, funny, I was telling everybody, so when she was born, she was, like, 6 pounds, 4 ounces. She's a very small girl. She's always been a small girl. She always looks younger than she is. And I was telling everybody, my dad came to me, and he's like, since you are a junior, you should name your daughter after you so we can keep it going. I'm like, I don't think so. And I said, I'll name her Donna, but I'm not going to name her Don. I named her Donna Marie. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to name her Donna Jean. So my name's Donald Jean. They want to name her. And I said, no, I want my kids to have individuality. So therefore, she gets a name that's not attached to anybody. I named her Donna Marie. But the funny thing about her was she'd been called Dee Dee from the time she was born, which stands for Dinky Donna. It was short for that, so it was Dee Dee. But everybody used to call her Dee Dee. So she goes to school, right? And the teacher asked me, she goes, does she have a hearing problem? I said, no, why? She goes, well, we keep calling her name, but she won't answer. I said, what are you calling her? I said, we call her Donna. I said, well, problem is no one's ever called her Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, she goes, oh, okay, I got the point. So maybe if you want to keep calling her Donna, maybe you should sit down with her and tell her, I'm going to start calling you Donna because that's your name.
Right.
That was interesting. So with the situation, we're actually answering questions. I'm actually building these three-part pyramids for everybody, too. So we just ask, if you throw a question out there, and we'll sit here and start building some cards.
I would love that.
Okay, have you ever experienced a three-card pyramid? Because, see, the answer really is no, because this is something that's...
No, I have not experienced one.
Okay. We started to come up with that. Actually, it was first I came up with a seven-card pyramid, and I said, so what can we do for situations of people who don't have the time for a seven-card pyramid? Because they usually take about... The last one I just did about early today... But well over an hour, like 90 minutes. They're very detailed. I like to be very detailed, too, to tell you the truth. So if you have any questions as we go through this whole thing, feel free to ask, okay?
Okay. I guess I have a couple, but the one that's probably most learning has to do with me leaving my job early next year, and I'm just kind of taking a leap of faith and surrendering to spirit for direction and what to do and how to for my abundance and just sustain my living. So I was I guess checking to see and get some validation and that I will be able to take care of myself and, my financial obligations that I have right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking at these cards. If you could just tell me when to stop shuffling.
Okay.
Whoa.
No.
All right. I'll be right in the middle of the shuffle. Yep, would you like me to cut this deck?
Okay. Now?
You want me to cut? No, no, I'm saying you caught me in the middle of the shuffle. I already stopped. I just want you to...
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you're on... It might be this... I don't know if you're on Skype, but it does fade in and out. So I'm
more
definitely trying to comprehend. What's that?
So I just want you to tell me when to... Do you want me to cut this deck or not?
Yes, please.
Okay. I should have gone with that, too, because I had a funny feeling that's what you were going to say. When you sit here and look at the situation, it says you need to be gentle with yourself. You have a tendency to process it, rethinking and thinking. You're being harmful with yourself.
Hmm.
Seriously, I consider look at the situation of seeing stress, how it lays on your shoulders, even to the point of it affects your body. It's like sometimes you can be sore, your muscles and your body can be sore. That really
uh-huh.
doing any kind of physical activity, but you're just sore, and you're like, okay, what the hell is that all about? And that's just the idea of what you put on yourself, an emotion. But you're tight, you're tense, so it affects your muscles.
Uh-huh.
Especially almost like a lower back thing, too. As well. I feel like you have this problem where it's like, I don't know if I can support myself, so it has a tendency to affect certain things around your lower back and leg. So the first card that came out was gentleness. The Archangel Sandalwood. Now, Archangel Sandalwood is also denoted for the ideal who the one who delivers prayers and also delivers the answers as well to make sure everything, there's no interference in the communication. It says be very gentle with yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, it also says you need to surround yourself with gentle people, situations, and environment. So basically, when you look at those things, it's the idea of looking at not just the idea of changing things. Idea of can I really take care of myself? It's the idea of what kind of influence do you have around you that can be influencing your thinking or your perception of yourself. I also get the impression because it says it's the next card out was manifestation. So when you get those two cards next to each other,
uh-huh.
staying there's in the process of what you're asking is the idea of realizing that you can manifest just the way you want it. But there's things, people, situations, that kind of thing that are it could be actually part of the blocking or hindering. It's the idea of letting things fall into their natural flow. People have a tendency
uh-huh.
to be put to the side. Friends are the biggest thing, you know, realize, okay, I made a change in my life. And when that happens, there are certain people they're not going to be a part of that because you changed path. The third card was clairsentient. This is basically Archangel Raguel. We're saying notice your reoccurring physical and emotional feeling as they signify divine guidance too. So they're clairsentient. That is the feeling you feel within your stomach. People talk about butterflies. If you're in a situation where you feel out of control and you feel sick in your stomach or whatever, that means whatever you're going through at that moment is affecting your solar plexus chakra. So it's like saying, take a notice. When you take a notice of your solar plexus, also focus with the, use your clairvoyancy, which is your third eye chakra, which is between your eyebrows. Your
uh-huh.
solar plexus would be right above your belly button. Okay, as you're focusing on these two, the situation you're in where you feel uncomfortable, also take focus on the energy within your heart. This is what we're talking about. Follow your heart. How does it resonate with you when you start seeing and feeling? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And whatever you see, whatever you feel at the time of letting it resonate through your heart is truth. And if you want
right.
to hear it or not. But they talk about the idea of the first year and all the things that are happening, of things that you've already seen. That you know you need to follow through and let it happen anyway.
Uh-huh.
Are you leaving your job?
I plan to, yes.
I get this impression that there may be some kind of hesitation on that, and they're saying you need to follow that letter. Definitely do that. Follow through with
I mean, I do plan to. I mean, at least the job as it is right now, there's a partial hope that something different that would align more with my strengths and talents would come up. So the only hesitation would be if something like that happened somehow, which I would love to do. So I don't want to close the gate with me leaving this place, but yes, I need to leave the job I currently have. But I would love to have a different kind of role, preferably part-time, but doing things that I'm actually more passionate about, and I think more aligns with what I was saying, like my gifts and talents. What's that?
Yeah, your gifts and your talents.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in a position that you can actually do what you want to do in the process of helping people because you're so gifted at certain things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm actually trying to find. I need a freaking bookshelf. The book is called Healing with the Angel. And there's actually a prayer in here. I was trying to find it. But you're focusing on a lot of things. And, hold on. Well, you don't have to hold on. Just what's it? I don't know why I said that. I don't think I'm going anywhere. See, there's a section in here on life purpose and career paths. And basically there's a prayer in here called Prayer for Financial Peace.
Mm-hmm.
This one here is that basically goes, Dear God, I know that you are the source of all my good and you provide for me in all ways. Please help me release the fears that block me from receiving your gifts. Please help me feel the emotions of peace, gratitude, and financial security. And to know that I am your child above whom you bestow great blessings. I now stay open to divine guidance, which perfectly leads me to situations, people, and opportunities that are part of your plan for my financial peace. I now see and feel myself and everyone else as completely financially secure, and my heart overflows with gratitude and joy at the abundant universe that you created. Thank you and amen. And if you look at the prayer itself, it's just not you focusing on yourself. It's also a focus on everybody else being in the same financial blessing of getting exactly what they want too. And people don't understand that in the process of doing that, the more successful everybody else is around you, it just contributes to your success, especially if you are in the process of finding things, on the process of working for yourself or self-employment or being an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So basically in the process of blessing yourself, you're asking for blessings for everybody else. But the one I was looking up the most was here is prayer for new job. Because there's a section in here that says basically, let's see that. Amazing when you read these things a million times, and you're just trying to find one little insert, and for some reason, like, oh, here it is. I ask for very clear and evident signs to guide me to a new job in which my talents and interests are used in a meaningful way. Please help me know that I deserve a wonderful new job and allay any nervousness during the interview process. I ask for extra angels to boost my confidence and courage. Keep me centered in the sure knowledge that you are providing for me now in a way. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That book's by Doreen Virtue. It's called
mm-hmm.
Healing the Angel. How the angels can assist you in every area of your life. So the two, and then I also got the two cards that go on top of the three, which the first one was Archangel Azrael, which talks about hello from heaven. But getting you in touch with your own guides and angels to the point where it's not saying you're not. It's just the idea of learning how to listen.
Uh-huh.
To where you listen all the time. It's like looking at your angels and go, that's a good idea. Well, I'm going to do it this way. And not realizing that they've already seen the outcome of the whole thing. They're trying to get you to go down that path. And the reason I know that, because the second card right next to that is called Gifts from God. So it's basically saying hello from heaven. And I also got a very strong connection with your grandmother.
Hmm.
That you get a connection with grandma, but also you get the word mom. So it was like, you know, the thing, okay, your loved ones in heaven are doing fine, so now it's time for you to do the same as well, to realize in the process it can be that easy. Let go of worry. Feel the loving, feel their loving blessing. But I also put that more in contact, just not with your, you know, with loved ones around you, but also I can focus on loved ones. I keep getting more of a connection with your angels and guides. Almost like helping you understand that it's like hanging out with your friends when you sit around the table, you're talking, conversing, and just having a great time of working with them just that way. Because they show all those things that you've been focusing on at the beginning of the year and all the things that you want to do, like you said before, don't let nothing stand in the way. They just keep emphasizing of following through. But the gifts from God, that's our soul.
Uh-huh.
Again, that's Archangel Sandal. We angels bring you gifts from the Creator. Open your arms to receive. So you see all the things that you've been focusing on that you need to change is the idea of opening up more for more gifts to come into your life. So the ideal of seeing that kind of outcome would definitely see you in the light to being taken care of yourself. See, the one thing they want, it's like I've said before, you sit to look at the situation, people saying, well, what do you see? Well, I can see it all, but you have to see it and believe it too and feel it, or it's not going to happen. And that's what we want to really put this emphasis on too, that when you put the feeling in the whole thing, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is your final card on top of the pyramid. Miracles. So your final card is miracles. Miracles are coming. To realize miracles come from within. To reflect on the outside of the world, of you are seeing things for what they are. You know, people look at the situation of having these negative lives, and all of a sudden something very positive happens, and they go, ooh, it's a miracle. No, it's just right thinking. But it's a miracle that you actually did that. That's in some people's positions, not yours. I just feel like the strength is there. So you look at the situation and it says, you know exactly what you need to do. You know what you want to do. It's just the ideal. Let yourself go through it and don't talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Well, there's incredible situations, too. Hold on, I was asking you about recently. No, I was reaching for the angel book. I was reaching for the angel number book because I was looking up your area code number 206.
Uh-huh.
I tell everybody, every once in a while I have a tendency to forget to do this. Since your prayers and faith are supporting you and your material needs completely, turn any worries into prayers and be open to receiving the answers to those prayers. It's kind of like really goes along with what I just said with the reading itself. So you're getting a lot of confirmation. As long as you follow through and do exactly what you know you need to do, what you've been planning on doing, then the outcome of what you're looking for is definitely the answer. Yeah, you can take care of yourself. Situation and relationships. Any questions there?
Yes, actually. I met someone actually just a few days ago, and we've been corresponding every day ever since. And I think he and I both have, we just kind of realized we've both been near each other, but never, it's been almost a series of misconnections. I mean, even before, we almost had a misconnection the other day, like when we met, but I kind of, I don't know, superseded fate or spirit to talk to him. But, yeah, so I don't know what you might see with this situation. I would love to know your insights.
Okay, do me a favor, and I want you to do me a favor. Just take a greedy breath and relax. But, you know, when you sit here and look at the situation, one thing I would definitely need, if you, pretty sure you should know this one. What's his first name?
Scott.
So his name is Scott?
Yes.
I don't like Scott. The name.
Okay, he's, wow. He's asking for the guy's first name.
You know, it's kind of funny. This dog is the weirdest dog I've ever had in my life. He barks at people already in the house.
Well, maybe they are there.
Oh, come on. Sit down.
This dog is barking and he goes, sit down.
Okay. When you tell her to sit down, she runs more. Match of the WVS. You know, the one thing I would sit here and say with this situation is the idea of playing it out the way it is, but it's also the idea of realizing that I get the impression that you really need to be really strong in the point of actually voicing who you are.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we have this reflection going on. We have a really strong reflection going on between the two of you, which you need to learn from. If you don't learn from, it's going to push you apart. But it's also the ideal of certain things are going on. Have you met each other face-to-face?
Briefly, yes.
Briefly. You need to really have an encounter of sitting down and seeing each other to get that whole thing going on with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a strength. But any other avenues you can use to, Skype, whatever, that you can actually get the visual on some kind of daily effect. It definitely
mm-hmm.
helps. But when I sit here and say you have to be strong and be who you are, it means if you catch yourself in any kind of sense of the word of holding certain things back about yourself because you're not sure about the reaction, that's what they're saying. Don't do that. Go with the flow and put it out there and say, this is who I am. Because what you're going to get is a person who's going to do the same thing. But if you hold back, he'll hold back. You see the reflection.
Right.
You've already seen the reflection, so you don't want us to turn and take it down the negative road. You want to take it down the positive road, so there's a reflection and expression continue to keep happening where they come out. All right? So when you sit and look at that situation, I want to sit and tell everybody the book's coming out this fall. But we're going to sit and put it down pretty plain speaking, spoken. But also, I'm just saying, that's why I get with this talk. Because the one card I got with that, I just pull one card for you, okay? It's divine.
You got which card?
That divine order. This is Archangel Miguel.
Okay.
And basically what it's saying is everything is how it needs to be right now. Look past the illusion and see the underlying order, which means when you see things where they are and you also feel that you have to contribute as in saying what you need to say at that time, you keep the order where it keeps going forward. We don't want to stagnate. Even to the point where we want to look at the situation and saying the physical part is one of those things that should be held back as long as possible. Because we've also noticed certain situations like this, too, where people have a tendency to get physical too soon and the maturity of the relationship stops.
Right.
So we want this, it's like divine order means to let this relationship mature as much as you can before you act the physical part in there. Because it's something about people think that's it. Well, we got that. Now we just go on, not realizing that's just a part of it. And realistically, physical part is expression. We have to be in a position of actually having something to express. That makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you?
I'm fine. Is there a woman on the phone, too?
No. What happened is we're having trouble with the switchboard. So in the process of actually...
got it.
Yeah, so when things work good, a lot of things go click, click, click. Now we got everybody sitting here waiting to get on. But it's one of those things where we're sitting here looking at the situation going, we've had so much problems with it. When we get all red lights, we go with it. So
okay. Oh, no, I wasn't sure because I heard, I wasn't sure if it maybe was, like, again, that Skype thing or if I was hearing other beings because you were saying that your dog barks at people that aren't there and I'm hearing another woman's voice and I thought, okay, what's going on here? Okay.
No. Why don't you say it? Because, actually she barks at people that are already in the house.
Oh, and, got it. Okay.
She barks more at people she knows than people she knows.
Okay.
My ex-wife came in the house and looked at her weird, and you thought someone just attacked her. Stared at her. Yeah.
I know.
We don't really want to go into that one, but I'm just saying with the situation you got going on, it's going to be a really great relationship. It's just the idea of keeping it on the forefront, on the surface. As in, we communicate all the time, When you got that kind of connection, they want you to completely keep communicating with each other on everything and everything. When we talk about communication, you know, for a fact, when we talk about communication, we talk about expressing the good and the bad.
Uh-huh.
This keeps the door open, and people feel sincere. The first time you don't do that, and we already have a connection. We already have a mirroring. We already have a spiritual connection. So when people sense things that you're not saying, sometimes their own fears have a tendency to put things in those blocks, those empty spaces.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, I've had this before once I didn't talk. That's the only information they have, so they put those in the empty spaces. But if someone sits here and communicates with them on every aspect, then they don't have that. So they don't feed into their fears. They listen to you.
Mm-hmm. No, yes, I'm definitely feeling a lot more open about myself with them, which is great. I guess, I'm not exactly sure what to do, and I haven't quite confronted the situation, but I suspect, you know, we've not crossed any lines or anything, but I wonder if he, I know he was married, and I don't know if he still might be, and I don't know if there, especially because he travels so much, there might be a particular arrangement they may have, but I don't want to cross any lines of integrity.
Well, what was said before at the beginning of the show, clarify exactly what you want. If it doesn't fit what you want, then that's also another sign to say, okay, this is not it. But it doesn't mean it can't be a good friend. But it's also look at the situation of people who have a tendency to portray themselves a certain way and then find that's not true, which means they lied to you somewhere down the line. And sometimes you have to ask people out because of their own actions, not yours. So it's their own consequences that brought about what happened. I feel like with the situation, I get no marriage, but I also got the really strong impression it's one of those things that definitely needs to be sit down and talked about, and they also brought to the forefront saying you need to go to the source. If you have a question about a certain person, so you go to the person and say, okay, what's up?
Right.
I know sometimes it's not that easy, but once you start doing it, it's fun. Because, you know, you start thinking about it in a positive way of saying, okay, I just found out some information. I saved myself 6 months. And that's the truth. I did it when I was showing my friend what was working this last summer. He was like, he was interested in this girl, and he was like, well, if she's single or not, I said, well, ask her. And he's like, no. I said, okay, I'll call you. And I walked up to her, and I said, so where's your husband? She said, oh, he's working. So, see, the point is, you get answers.
Right.
And if you do it in the right way, you ask a question, because you're really interested in somebody, and it's true interest, that you want to know if they got a husband or not. Because you don't want to go there if they do because of respect for them. That's the key.
Right.
Respect. Well, you asked the question. And then he found out she was. And I looked at him. I said, aren't you engaged to get married? So I was like, yeah, I'm always doing the relationship counseling thing going, you know, we should sit down and talk about that. That you would even think about being interested in somebody else. I know me personally. Once I'm with somebody, I don't have interest in anybody else. I look at him like this. Like, I'm a personal trainer, so I'll look at him as, in a sense, going, that's a beautiful woman, but no interest of knowing any more than what I see. And then I go right back to who I'm with.
Uh-huh.
I don't judge and criticize on that either. I just look at them and say, you know, I've always looked at the situation of being with a certain person as being in, like, a privilege, right?
Uh-huh.
A privilege and an honor to be with this person, and what kind of life can we have that I know we can have, but it has to be a full commitment. Or it just ain't going to work. I can take a deep breath. I have a tendency to go on about breathing. So, but seriously, with the situation, trust what you feel. Trust what you see.
Uh-huh.
Because in the process of doing the same things with your career, if you don't do what you need to do with your career, it can affect your relationships and the relationship you have with yourself.
Uh-huh.
It's very important. Yeah, it's very important for you to do what you love to do. And you do. And you will. And like I was, the thing that came to me the most I wanted to tell you before we got sidetracked with the relationship, it just came to me real quick that I needed to ask you. You have a question about relationships, and I just knew that. But it was also saying things about the work that I actually heard this story where this lady had, she didn't like her job. She didn't like to work. She didn't like the people she was working with. She didn't like the company she was working for, but she loved being a manager. So she said, I just need to change those factors. So what she did was she sat down. She had a nice little journal she used to write into. So she sat down in the journal. She goes, I'm going to sit down and be very detailed about exactly what I would like to have. I want a management job. So I'm going to change these other things. So she did. She sat down and got very, very detailed on exactly what she wanted, what kind of people she wanted to work with, what kind of company she wanted to work with. And then she let it go. She detached herself from the situation and said, there you go, universe. You know exactly what I want. And I'm going to let go, detach myself from it, and be open to receive it. 2 weeks later, she got 2 job proposals from 2 companies. Yeah.
Huh.
You think, oh, well, that's great. You know, what's what happens when you apply for jobs, right? I said, okay, here's the catcher. She never applied for those jobs.
Interesting.
But she still had the contacts. It's like I'll give you a personal experience. I'm actually going to be writing for this magazine called Bel Esprit magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something I went out looking for. A friend of mine who'd actually been on the show a couple of times, and actually I met like last year, I think it was, and we had done some readings for her and some work, and just basically me doing what I love to do, she really appreciated the things I've done for her and the work and that kind of stuff, and she liked me as a person and just, you know, the way I do things and that kind of stuff. So she told this lady who was actually putting this magazine together and said it'd be great. It would be great for your magazine, and I think you do a really great column on relationships. And you see how it worked out. I never applied or looked for anything, but there it goes. The opportunity came to me anyway. Isn't that crazy? And I was just before that, I was thinking about opportunities, and you know, I needed something to really motivate me to write this book. And then I have this opportunity to actually write a column, which I think would definitely be one of those things that motivate me to do that. So you see, it's all because of doing what we want to do, what we feel we need to do. I mean, personally, seriously, some people look at the situation, well, how will I know that? Well, I know for a fact that every time I walk away from this kind of work, certain events, certain things happen. The universe aligns itself up to go, no, you're going back. The next thing I know, I'm sitting there. I remember I was working for the carnival this last year. Like I ran away with the carnival. And then the next thing I know, I was sitting there with guy friends, and I still had a couple of companies I was still working, doing phone work, and they heard me do that, and all of a sudden everybody's lined up. Hey, can you do palm reading for us too? I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Every time I turn around, I'm doing this kind of work. So it's like the idea, open your eyes up and say, okay, I guess that's what you're supposed to do because that's where I always end up at. So we just have to let down our resistance and go, okay. Just see how enjoyable it could be. And it's been really one of those things where the more you do it, the more you want to do it. And also the idea of doing this kind of work, it's also every day, it's always reaffirming to me the existence of God, the angels, and everyone who does exist and where the thing works. And also how life works. You don't see grass going, geez, if I just get some fertilizer, it just happens. And then birds, animals. We always sit there and say that too. You ever notice animals? Animals, when they're in nature, they really have no problems of starvation or nothing. They're always taken care of. Well, boy, you put one of those animals and put a human in charge of that, you might have a little problem with the sucker starving. So we have so you take the whole thing away. But once you put things back in the natural flow of things, everything's taken care of. Everything flows. Everything falls into place. It's great. It's fantastic. So you look at the situation in your life, and what we're trying to say is the ideal that you feel like there's certain things you need to do. So you just go flow with the whole thing, and you'll definitely see some really positive outcome in both situations of career and this relationship. Because you don't see these things as being temporary. You see these things as being something that's going to be a part of your life. And this person, in particular, seems like something that's going to be there for a while, too, as well.
Huh.
But also, we also sit here and say the same thing before, too. It's a choice. You have a choice to be happy or sad. Which one are you going to choose? And with the situation of the guy, we all get all these signs and stuff that come to us to help us put down the resistance, and that's what we're going to put into it. You have some really good positive things here, so I would just commit yourself completely to this. I see a really good positive outcome. Alrighty?
Okay.
And with the situation of all the things we've been talking about, you get a chance to sit down. If you have the time to do a private reading, I'd love to sit down and work with you. And she's not there anymore.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I've actually been flying all day and it's already almost 1:30 my time, so
gotcha.
Sorry, I'm a little
gotcha.
Fading.
It's okay. No, I understand. I've been there myself. You're just sitting here going, I got both my hands popping my head up going, this is going to be over, you know. We keep pressing through. So like I said before, I don't know if you heard what I said, but I was just saying I'd love to work with you, so you get a chance for us to sit down and do a private session.
Thank you. Yeah, look into that.
And on that note, if you have anything else you'd like to ask real quick before you go, it'd be great.
Well, it's part of also my hesitation about the leaving my job is. I mean, I think I know the answer to this. It's mainly on the physical level. And, wow, I kind of sound... there'd be one thing that would prevent me from leaving the job, and that's if something unexpected may have happened or may be happening right now biologically. And I'm just wondering if that might be of a concern at the moment.
I mean, actually, when I sit here focused on the whole thing, I get no. There's nothing that's going to be any different. There could be a time. There could be some time difference here of actually leaving it sooner if you want to. But I still see it all being in a situation of decisions. Nothing that's going to happen.
Okay.
But of course, you end up making a decision, okay?
Okay. Got it.
Now, if it's like one of those things, if you're having problems with that, I would really recommend this book. There's some foundational meditations in here and prayers, because there's one in here. It's actually, well, I was reading that one section about the job, finding a job, or being guided to something new. There's also another one in there that talks about job conflict. If you want to clear things out, also there's some prayers in there for healing of oneself. So, you know, there's solutions in that book where you look at the situation. And I always tell people, if you like to look at those prayers, you want to rearrange them to fit you more, that's what it's all about. These are just foundations. Something to give you an outline of what you can do. You know, you can focus on what kind of results you can get. But I would definitely recommend if you got that. And realistic, I'm putting things together right now. We're just trying to get some time to actually put these books on the website, so you can just go to the website and check them out. And we actually have a couple links on there. Well, I was telling people before about donations and stuff, and trying to collect donations so I can actually get to England and go to this college. We've actually put the link on there, so you can actually take a look at this college. It's actually like an old castle. And we've done that with a lot of things where you sit there and let people take a look at it, and they actually start seeing some things with themselves. I know for a fact when I first saw this link, went on there and checked out this place. They have a couple shots where you're inside the place itself, and it kind of gives you the shivers when you actually can look at the pictures themselves and see yourself. Not just see yourself in the room, or the front dining area, or living area. What I want you to call it, like a living room, foyer kind of thing. You could also feel the coolness or the dampness of being in that kind of building. So it was like, ooh, okay. You really get the sense that you are going to be there. So it's one of those things that brings a lot of realizations in a lot of people's lives when you can get that feeling that you can actually put that kind of feeling into also your other manifestations, the things that you really want, like with the relationship you're talking about. You know, enjoy the journey and how it unfolds. And the one thing you should really work on or tweak or whatever you want to call it is the outcome. You know? The clarification. What do you want with this man? Do you want... When I say clarification, we said this at the beginning of the show. When you talk about clarification, we're talking about are you a huggy, touchy person? Do you like holding hands? Do you like being held all the time? Do you like, you know, the hugs and kisses and this kind of thing? Well, those are the things you do like. I've had so many women I've worked with who said, you know, guys don't like that. Whoop-dee-freaking-do. We're not asking what they like. We're asking what you like. And we're putting it, I'm sorry to get so blow, but I'm saying, this is your life, not theirs. It's their job to clarify what they want. And then if you guys have a match, ding, 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 yeah, it's like you won. Now we sit down and just completely let down the guards. But, you know, the reason we specify so much on the feeling, realistically, if you look at it, when you're living it and everything's going good, you're feeling it. You're going with the flow. It's always when things start going a different way, we start thinking about it, we get too much in our heads. That's when the flow stops. So we can keep ourselves in the idea of following our hearts and that emotional part. That's the good part. A lot of people know, well, I'll get myself in trouble. No, you're not getting yourself in trouble. You're just doing things you would not normally do because of the love you have for one individual or a situation or a job. That you're not looking at the idea of saying, well, if I run a big phone bill up, you start looking at it in a different way, don't you? You take a chance. I don't care about that big phone bill. I can pay it. So I've always said this before, too. If you look at the situation of making a big old bill, what it's saying to you, realistically, if you look at it, the angels are saying, that's just a sign about your future potential, that you can make that kind of money to pay that big-ass bill. Now go out there and manifest the freaking money in the job. Don't look at a bill of motivating you to suppress yourself. Look at the idea of what you're capable of doing, how powerful you are. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I actually did get a sense of that last month, which is part of what sparked my courage to really feel like I'm able to do.
Okay, one thing I also want to say, too, we got like 90 seconds left in the show, and I just want to thank everybody who's called in, all the callers, and everybody who's listening and that kind of thing. Don't worry, we're going to get back to the callers who are in the queue right now and get to each one of you guys, so don't go anywhere. Stay right where you're at. I just want to thank everybody and tell everybody, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and take advantage of the rates that we got going on right now. It's $33 for a 60-minute reading, $22.22 for a 40-minute reading, and $11.11 for a 20-minute reading. And if you want to do this life, if you want to do life coaching and those kind of things, $77.77 for 90 minutes, almost a two-hour thing. We might even do 2 hours for you. So give us a call. You know, I might get a break. And just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my webpage, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Look forward to hearing from each and every one of you guys. I love this work. I love working with everybody I can get a chance to do. It's like the thing you want to do, my big thing, service, and just sitting down and making sure we can get that out there to everybody, make these drastic changes in everybody's life so they can actually live the life that they know they should be living and give them the tools to say, yes, you can. So thank you all for being there. And let's get back to our caller now and say, okay, we can actually do this for another hour. We're still recording, so.
Okay, it's really late, and I have to work in the morning, so I think I should probably fall asleep.
All right. I'd like to tell everybody, if you want to take advantage of the race and call me, anytime's good. Just give me a call, and if I don't answer the phone, I'll definitely get back with you and that kind of thing, because I like to get these things done as quick as possible. All right?
That'd be great. Right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And thank you for calling, and you have a great night, and finish the have a good time with the rest of this weekend. And you have a good night, okay?
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go on with the situation and get the talk to everybody else who's in the queue, too, as well, and get those questions answered. And it's kind of actually really working, too. We're doing these three-card pyramid spreads, so if you want to get a take one of those. And I don't know if you can still call in or not, but you can try at 646-721-9031 if you're not. And you're actually listening to this in the archives, then give us a call at 740-500-8863. And that'll get you in there to take advantage of those rates that we're having right now till the end of the year. And you can also go to my website, which is psychicxjourneyman.com. We also have a Skype connection, too, if you want to call through there, which is actually 740-601-9835. And like I said before, it'd be great to hear from each one of you guys. Work with each and every one of you, too, as well. So let's go into our next caller. Hopefully. Area code 814. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What the? Okay. Area code 814. You're on the air. And we also have 904. If you can hear me, let's try this again. All right. I'm going to sit here and refresh the page. Maybe we have a problem here where people are just kind of popping out. And we can clear everything real quick, real quick, real quick. All right. And thank you guys for all hanging in there. We try to get to everybody as quick as possible. Oh, we have a different area code 904. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. Area code 904. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name? Hello? Hello? That kind of sucked, didn't it? Well, let's try this one more time, because we had everybody on the line right there for a minute. Trying to figure what happened. Let's try it one more time. Try to get this refreshing thing. It's driving me up the wall. Drink some juice here to get that throat going again. And we'll try it one more time. And it can be very frustrating when you're waiting for the computer to refresh itself because it's something that takes forever, doesn't it? All right, let's go back to the queue here. Okay, we got area code 904. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. I see that you're in the queue still.
Hello?
Area code 904. Are you there?
I'm not there.
904. Are you there? Hello. Hello. I want to sit here and do that echo. Hello. Hello. Okay. Okay, let's go back to the situation we were looking at before, and I'll sit here and do this. I'm going to do this real quick. I'm actually going to take 904 and look it up in the book and see what it means. In the number book by Dorian Virtue called Angel Numbers 101. Check that out. 904 says, God and the angels are supporting you as you focus on serving a spiritual purpose in this world. So, we hope that reached them and they got the idea on that whole thing. You never know. So, let's go into our, since we're not getting any kind of response there, I guess we should go into the next caller, which is actually area code 386. Welcome to the show. How are you? Is this a return caller, please?
Yes.
You've been with us before. I guess you've been with us for the last three nights, or two nights, right?
Yeah, I last night I got cut off, and I really, really was trying to find out some important information about, you know, my lab. But, yeah.
You never know. They just have a tendency to go, bye, and they cut you off. I wasn't paying attention. But then when I go on here, okay, listen to this. As I'm looking at my queue, it was actually counting back. It was actually counting as if it was in red. Usually when we're on the air, it's in a, I think it's in a white. And then when we go record, it goes yellow, I think. And when we're on the air, there's a red. But I was doing a two-hour show, and it was counting back from doing a four-hour show. So I had no idea how much time I had left, because it was still counting down when it said you had 90 seconds left. Thank goodness for the prompt. Actually, what it is, we have a voice that comes up there and tells us how much time we have left. If that wasn't there, I wouldn't have known that was 90 seconds left of the show. But I was trying to put things together real quick, and I was actually thinking about, I was trying to actually catch some of the numbers on here, too, and maybe I would, you know, maybe give them a call back.
Right.
And it was getting kind of late and stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe I should, I don't know if I should do that or not either. But sometimes.
Maybe they fell asleep. Sometimes I'll be, maybe like, they fell asleep because sometimes I'll be waiting to get on in the queue and then I'll fall asleep or, you know.
Right. No, I understand that one too. I've actually been here where I've been working all freaking day. When I get here, I'm like exhausted and I do like four or five readings at the end of the show. The part I'm just drained. I get to the last part and someone will say, are you there? Are you, oh, well, I fell asleep, sorry. That was just like freaking out going. That ain't supposed to happen.
But
what is you?
I wanted to get, like, I kind of pretty got as much, well, like, it cut off last night, but I wanted to see what was going to happen with my landlord situation. I got some clarity last night when you were telling me what was going on.
Oh, this is the situation with the guy who was basically telling everybody to get out.
Yeah. But before we go into that, if you can you see what, according to my area code in the book, what is if my area code means? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. 315. No, no, 386, sorry. 386. Okay, here we go. 386. I'm sorry, it's been a while for you guys. So something comes to slip out. So I'm waiting for a relationship to come back. I miss people all the time. So it might sound like I said sex back.
That's
386.
We got it.
It says, give any cares or concerns about finances to the extended masters as they're ready to support you in all ways. So this is the ideal guidance around you that you need to pay attention to. As it comes through to tell you what to do in the situation. I'm just saying, when I started to focus on your situation, I was just like, I would stay put.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go anywhere until it came to the point where I really had to. Because I feel like the more you hold, I'm just saying, the more I feel like you hold your ground, the more you can do what you got to do. It's just the idea with me, it's the trust factor. I have a tendency, if I can't trust somebody, then I start asking the angels to open up other opportunities to go somewhere else where I can be trusted and they also trust me.
Right.
And that's the thing I got. And it was like, look at the situation going, this is great. And he's trying to get everybody as in a fear factor. They'll leave. They'll do what they think they have to. And then he won't have to pay the money. So it's like he's trying to save money at your expense, not realizing that you have rights too. And he's trying to put you in a position of fear so you won't go and just actually find out.
Right.
What you cannot do, and the rights and stuff like that, because in the situation of being in that place, like my friend said last night, Lori was talking about, there is this thing about where he has to have that place where it's livable until otherwise circumstances change, and they haven't.
Right. Do you think that, like, maybe he's trying to force everybody out because he knows that he has to fix this place up and he can possibly get the code enforcement caught on him and violated and have to spend money anyway, like fees and pay fees and remodel anyway, so that's why he wants everybody out?
Well, let's put it this way. That's the fact that he has to do those things. He has to do a lot of things. But I get the impression he's trying to save money so therefore he can take the money that he doesn't use on evicting people to put in the place. He doesn't realize that if anybody says anything about it, that could come back on him and actually push things back. So if we look at the situation and what he knows everything.
He doesn't know
everything. Yeah, and let's put it this way too, guys. If he doesn't know, that's his problem. Anybody who's going to invest in any kind of property should know exactly everything about that kind of venture before they even venture into it. So we got to look at the situation. We're not responsible for him.
Right. So I got to look out for me. Like, if I wanted to call code enforcement, like, what benefits would I have? Like, would they make me move if the place is not livable? Would they help me move? I mean, will they make him remodel? What's the deal?
Well, if it's like you said before, we have a person who owns the place who's been trying to force people out of the whole thing and the idea of the situation of filing a complaint. I get the impression if you file a complaint, then you'll have to comply and bring it up to stand, bring it up to code. It could go either way. That's why I always tell people, in the process of not giving anybody any kind of freaking money and hanging on to every freaking dollar you got going on until this thing's settled, so therefore, so you do call them, and they said, well, things have code. It depends what kind of code we're talking about, too. It could be something just strictly a violation of code, but you can still occupy the present.
Right.
You can still occupy this residency. I don't know if mm-hmm. I heard someone say that, though. But the residency, there's a residency about the whole freaking thing, okay, sweetie? So okay. When we're looking at here, there could be some codes that you violate, you have to leave. But usually it's one of those things where it could be a health hazard to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, falling through a floor or mold, it could be a health hazard, and that could affect you, too. We've actually had some rental properties where people didn't do that. I saw this one. This was incredible. This lady was she was living in a townhouse community, right? She was walking downstairs into the basement, and the stairs collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell to the floor. And she wasn't exactly a light lady, but still, in the situation, a lot of people were saying that, too. She was a heavy lady. She should lose some weight. But a stairway, the stairs should support 1,200 pounds.
Right.
And she didn't
weigh
no 12. Yeah.
Upstairs.
She didn't weigh no 1,200 pounds. Yeah. So, therefore, the violation is it's something that's, if you have a rental property, I mean, it's in your own best interest, too, to do monthly inspections and stuff. We're not here to actually do the, you know, this is like a flip show of houses. But I'm just saying.
I think he might have brought the. Do you think he might have brought the property, not knowing that what bad of or he knew what bad of shape it's in, and he just doesn't want to hear the complaints or hear people complaining about not paying, so he doesn't bother
mm-hmm.
to.
No, I get the impression he doesn't want to put any money out.
Mm.
He wants to sit there and he wants to remodel the place. He wants to do a lot of things. I get there's a lot of sneakiness in that situation in this person because when you sit there focus on it, I want to get you out of that house as quick as possible. I want to scare you so you'll just get up and pack up and leave. And then when I do fix the place up, he's going to do it as cheaply as he can. So he doesn't want anybody watching that either.
Right.
So it's one of those situations, if you look at it in the process of trusting somebody, that seems like that's the bigger issue. You know, I feel like you could stay there. I think I get the impression, I don't see you going anywhere, even with any kind of violations of code. I get the impression it's one of those things where a lot of things you could fix yourself, and the idea of sustaining yourself to stay there, so you can do that. But at the same time, you just look at the situation of more aggravations and more headaches after you get past the point where he has to let you stay there. I just don't feel like he's going to make it easier for you. He's going to look at it as a violation of what he wanted to do compared to what you wanted to do. And, you know,
right.
That's what we sit here and say, hang on to all your freaking money. Don't give nobody nothing because you've already seen this, too. Didn't you say you already saw that there's already been cases
yeah.
where people have given money and they're still being forced out?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you look at that kind of situation, the guy definitely knows exactly what he's doing. He's
yeah,
trying
he
to get as much money as he can. I almost get the
so
impression
that he can
this guy. The reason I say I don't trust this guy because I also get the impression he's one of those people that would actually take it to the point of actually having insurance on the property itself and then burning it down.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're in Florida, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, yeah, sometimes when you go down, people down, they don't understand that some of the things that happen to them is what they're doing. Basically dictating consequences that are happening to them. That's just freaking weird.
Yeah, I know, but that with that being said, like, do you think that okay, say he everybody leaves on their own admission, and which I don't see that happening because people have their Cincinnati, you know, but there's some people mm-hmm. that are leaving and there's some people that are staying. Do you think that, like, if he gets it down to maybe one or two tenants and then he can afford then to evict at least one or two, will he do that if he has to?
No. He's still working. Mm-hmm. See, when I sit here and focus on the guy, he's focused on one agenda right now. So he hasn't even considered that whole thing. You don't see it really happening. That's what I'm saying before about the situation, man. I really get this strong impression that I would not trust this dude because the reason I wouldn't trust him is because of the drastic things he might just do.
Mm.
He might do some things. He might do some shoddy things to get people out.
Mm.
I mean, the idea of burning the house down, when people have a tendency to go in, hopefully not with the intent of killing anybody, but they just assume that when the place catches on fire, most people run. Everybody gets out.
Mm.
every once in a while you get a situation where that doesn't happen, and we find out there's been arson, and then now arson's turned into murder. See, the situation is we don't want to go down that route, but I just, you know, when you sit there and look at the situation, it could definitely play out that way. So that's what we were saying before about money. Hang on to every freaking dime you have, because it doesn't seem like he's really, it doesn't seem like you give the guy any money as you're going to be able to stay there anyway. He's just going to take it and forget to, you know, make tell everybody, she never gave you nothing.
Right.
I don't know what she's talking about. So therefore, on that kind of intent, he definitely knows exactly what he's doing, or he wouldn't be doing those things. He could try to get around.
Right. But, you know, that's the dangerous situation. If he plans on trying to, like, if he has it in the back of his mind that he can burn this place down if people are still here, because that's dangerous. You know, it's me and my daughter. He could come in the middle of the night and try to set this thing on fire and kill us.
Mm-hmm. I get the impression he's not that devious where he would do it when people are sleeping. But I wouldn't put it past him doing it where he feels like, I'm just saying, we've had situations of places catching the fire in the middle of the day.
Right.
Still getting caught up in the whole situation.
Mm.
You just get the impression that there's a lot of shoddy stuff going on here. You know, when you sit and look at the situation of somebody and as his mentality, you also get the impression that he feels like he has connections to do just that too as well. But I know for a fact, and the idea of intending on staying there, on the intent of staying there, as long as you're occupying the property, you can't do anything unless you go through due process. And it's one of those things I tell people before, too, with the situation. If you don't have any prior notification that he's going to even come into your apartment, you don't have to answer to open the door for no one, and I wouldn't. Sometimes we're as human response. Anytime someone knocks on the door, we just automatically respond and open. Same thing with the phones. When the phone rings, we answer it. We don't think about it, because there's something about the whole thing of responsibility, not realizing that. Honestly, you don't have to answer the phone, you don't have to answer the door if you don't want to. That's the whole ideal of owning your own phone and having your own property. It's the ideal that you dictate exactly what happens. I don't answer the phone, and they get mad. So what are you mad for? Well, you're supposed to answer the phone. I said, says who? I said, the last time I heard when the phone rings, I have an option. Yes or no to answer it. Excuse me. And same thing with my door. I mean, I've had people I don't want to talk to.
Right.
We've all had people who are persistent, who refuse to listen and say, okay, I don't want to talk to you, and they come to the door anyway. So we make a choice. Okay, I see someone out there and I don't want to talk to them. And don't talk to them. That's the whole thing. I'm just giving you some up on this whole thing, okay?
Huh?
I was just giving you some up. Get your, you know, keep your eyes open. Things are gonna fall into place. You're gonna love it. If you let things play out the way they're gonna play out, and take advantage of the opportunities when they come along, you'll be in a place a whole lot nicer than it.
Yeah, you think so? Well,
yeah.
Good. Well, that requires money, and, you know, hopefully I have enough money. Then, you know, like you said, it's all about trusting. The funny part about it is I had, when he was on the property the other day, I had left. I didn't go too far. I walked up the street to go pick my daughter up from the school bus.
Yeah.
And he didn't know that it was right up the street. So when I was walking back, I caught him going into my apartment.
Oh.
And then he closed the door, and I said, hey, I yell, hey. And then he closed the door and he kept walking, you know, like he didn't hear me or like he didn't see me coming, like trying to be sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking,
sweetie. Yeah, sometimes you have to invest in a deadbolt that he doesn't have a key to.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, the situation sometimes, it just be one of those things I've said before, is pointing out where you don't want to be in it. And open yourself up to getting down there.
Do you think that, like, maybe, you know, finally he'll just say, you know, forget it, I'll remodel the place? Because all he has to do is you know, remodel the place and just rent it out. And then he can, you know, get his rent money, you know, without any problem. But do you think that he will come to a point where he'll just say, well, maybe I'll let them stay? And you know, if he doesn't want to manage the property, he can find someone that lives here already that's been here for a long time to help him manage the property while he's not on it. You know what I mean? In exchange for rent where he wouldn't have to pay the manager. Because, you know.
I don't know. I just don't see the guy being that smart. To be truthful with you, yeah. Because when you focus on the situation, what you see is a person who wants to take the shortcut, not realizing the shortcut's going to cost him a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have to learn, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because, like, how long do you think it'll be? Maybe 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? Will it be past the next year, going into the new year?
Let's see. When it comes to me, possibly 2 months, maybe. 2 months. After you get, it's like almost like the idea after the first year, I would definitely start looking, keep my eyes open for opportunities that would be coming to you. It's like I said before, that one lady who actually specified exactly what she wanted in her management position, and then she got 2 job offers from places she didn't even apply.
Wow.
I did the same thing. I also did the same thing too, see. I lived in Florida myself. You know, sitting there going over some things and working at one of those job agencies down there in Holly Hill, one of those spot labor places. And I was paying like $270, I think it was, at the place I was living, a week.
Mm.
And then I was working at that job labor place, ran into this one guy who we worked for a while together. And then he came up to me one day and just said, hey, the lady I'm renting off of has a room open. And I went from, I think it was 270 to, I want to say 150 a week. That's a drastic change, huh?
Yeah.
Also, the same thing with it. Yeah, I was just saying, I got that place, went from there down to the other place. You know, like I said before, I was open, and looking for something different. I was, you know, a lot less pressure and stuff. The lady seemed a little bit nicer, too, and she was a little more flexible. If I didn't get to work that day, she didn't expect anything that day. As long as I paid her, you know, on the week and that kind of thing. And then I did get kind of a fearful thing there for a minute. But I had applied for this one place to work at. And actually, the place I was staying at, I applied through there to work at this one place. And at the time, they had a, I think it was third shift, second shift, I'm not sure. Anyway, it fell through. All they had was first shift open still, you know. So I was thinking, okay, no problem. So in the process of the whole thing, that's when I found this other place to live. And then one day I was sitting there going, well, I haven't gone out in 3 or 4 days. So this is a job labor place. What's going on? And I remember saying this too, that I wasn't too hip to working out at the, at that, how do they call those things? It's a freaking place where you dump trash. Landfill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had the landfill thing going on. And I was like, I don't like it, because I started getting under my arms, where you have your lip nodes and your certain glands that you have under your arms. It started swelling up. Now, that was because of what I was being exposed to at this landfill. And they used to stick me in this ditch all the time. They used to stick me in this ditch all the time to clean the trash and the gunk, the trash out of this thing. Basically, what it is chemicals that are coming out of this big hill on this landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Where what happens is, as it settles, there's chemicals that start coming out of there, so they drain off.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had trash going in there, too, so we had to clean it out. So I was like, okay, I have no problem. I'll do it all. But I was sitting there saying, you know, basically it was like having a prayer and saying, okay, I need to go. So if it's possible, displeased, I have an opportunity to go somewhere else, right? And all of a sudden, I stopped getting, and I was asked, and from the way things were set up, I should have been going out there continuously. This one guy got a chance to work out there, but he was a stand-in, and I was trying to figure out how come he became a stand-in, because I was actually working out there for like 2-3 months. I was a permanent, you know. But it worked out that way, and then later on, I remember this month, the lady I was renting off of, she says, oh, don't worry about it, you know, you got going out for a couple of days. We'll just sit there and keep tally of the whole thing, and when you do get some money coming in, well, you know, just make it up, right? No problem. I went back to my room, and I said, I'm sitting here, I pulled out one of my books, and I was reading, right? As I pulled the book out, opened it up, this card fell out. It was when I lived at the other place. I applied for that job, and they didn't have second shift open. So what I did was, I don't know, I had a strange feeling about it. So that thing fell out of my book. I said, I'm going to call this number. Well, I didn't have a phone, so I went to my landlady and said, can I use your phone for like 5 minutes just to call this place? Because I feel like if I call this place, I just told her flat. If I call this place, I'll have a job. I don't know why. I just feel like if I call this place, I'll have a job. So I called them, and they called me back in 20 minutes. And I had a job at 20 minutes. I went to work. I remember going to work that night on second shift. I think it was second shift. I know I was working nights. It was fantastic. And she actually gave me a ride there for a while, and then I found someone that worked there and started riding back and forth with him. And it just seemed like all these things started falling into place all the time. And I was like, okay, we need to listen to that more often. But, and then it was, you know, it was just unusual how that thing just fell out of the book in my lap. And it was kind of funny, too, when we were working at the job labor place, too. Or at least the guys we were working with, sitting at the tables and stuff and waiting for the work to go out, you know. Like this guy named Joe. Remember Joe? Most negative man I've ever met in my life. It was like a week before Christmas, and we're all down there trying to get work out there, and Joe just kept on saying, you know, it's a week before Christmas. Nobody's going to hire anybody. We're never going to get jobs. We're not like that. Blah, 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 blah. I said, you know something, Joe? I've been hearing this for like 4 days. I looked at him. I said, Joe, why don't you do me a favor? Go over there where the negative people are. Go sit at their table, okay? You know something that was so funny about the whole thing was, as soon as I told Joe to hit the road and go over and sit with those guys, do you know that they sent our table out to work that day? Which defied everything Joe said. Joe said, since it's 4 days before Christmas, they ain't going to have the work. And I remember turning around to Joe and saying, Joe, that's how it works. if you want to repeat that for you, just get with me. Because what I used to do this. I would go in, when we were sitting at the job, when we used to go down to the job labor place, I would take books with me, and I would read them while I'm there. Like some of the books I've been reading while I'm on the air, I would take them with me, and I would read those books and focus until I got what I wanted. And next thing you know, when I did that, you know, next thing I know, it was one of those things where this one guy was bound determined to get me a job. Just because I hung in the whole thing and stuck into the whole thing, right? But
right.
I look at it like this. Yeah, I did stick it out. And he was the opportunity, but was he the one that actually caused it? Or was the idea of focusing on positive energy and being co-created with God, it actually fell into place like it was supposed to? He was just the catalyst, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing, too, that 904 is still sitting there with the microphone open. Was you on the show that one night when we were sitting there and I clicked on one of the freaking microphones and the person had fallen asleep and they were snoring?
No, but I've heard that before.
Yeah, that lady, I said, wow, this lady's sucking the paint off the freaking walls, man.
I hope it wasn't me. No, I'm just kidding.
I have no idea who it was. I think the last one we did like that, I think it was a guy. Tell you the truth, I definitely think it was a guy. And you should also go to Amazon.com and go to the section. What you do is you go to Amazon.com and up the section where it says departments, and then it'll put down the description of what you're looking for in the second column, or the second little section next to it. Put in there HemiSync CDs, or just put down HemiSync, put Hemi-Sync, and these CDs will pop up, these meditational CDs. There's a meditational CD in there. It's called 4 Hours of Sleep in 40 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subliminal CD. Of meditation. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's incredible. But you feel like you've gotten 4 hours of sleep in 40 minutes when you listen to the meditation.
Yeah, I think we all do that.
I'm just saying you can download it on your phone, you can download it on your computer, and it's only 99 cents. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I feel like it would help you. So go ahead.
Yeah, because I don't get much sleep. You know, I'm up like I'm always up late. But I wanted to ask before I go. I wanted to ask, while I have you on the phone, I love getting relationship advice from you. Remember, I had asked you about the guy or whatever that wasn't at well. I had went out on a date with him and I hadn't called. Yeah, I hadn't heard from him. Well, the one day that my phone got shut off, which was, I think it was a Thursday or a Friday, whichever day was the 30th, the one day that my phone got shut off, he tried to call me.
Oh, really?
And, yes. And, you know, I'm just like, I didn't notice until I invited him to spend the next weekend with me. And then when he called me, when I got on the phone with him, he called me. I found out then that the one day that my phone got turned off, it was the day that he tried to call me. So I was like, what's up with that? Like, what is the universe trying to say? What's going on? Because, you know, here I am thinking, okay, we had a nice date. And then, you know, I'm like, I'm waiting to hear from him and, you know, trying to contact him. And then the one day he do call me, my phone was off. So I'm just wondering where he's at now, you know, if he's going to run, because I get that problem all the time. I get people who, you know, excuse my language, guys that kind of bitch up, and then they run. You know, they're scared, and they, you know, don't want to step up, and then they run. So I'm like, am I wearing down on him? You know, where is he at with this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he going down me?
Oh, so what you're saying is one of the things you can run away.
No, me, I don't want to run away. I'm just saying I'm wondering if he's running away from, you know, if he's, because he might be scared and running away. Like you said before, he's like, he just is not ready or scared or whatever. I don't know. Like, is he going to run like the rest of the guys do and not step up? You know?
No, I get the impression it's one of those things of having patience with the situation because I don't feel like he's going to do that. I get the impression he's going to sit there and make it feel that way sometimes, but he gets the impression of patience. We've heard patience with virtue. And then go that route.
But if I open the door for him to, he would jump right on it. If I open the door for us to be intimate, then he would be all over it. Like, he'd be like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Right. I'm just saying, with the situation at hand, you do have to get an impression that with that kind of scenario going on, that the physical part should be held back as long as possible. It's almost like having expectations first. What you actually do want, not what you want to fulfill on his part.
I'm sorry, say that again. I get the feeling that was real important for me to hear, but I couldn't hear it.
No, it's the idea. He needs to specify exactly what he wants. Not just like, look at the situation. He wants to express himself, obviously. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do it in a physical sense. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to divert that where he will express it in an emotional way. If he doesn't express it in an emotional way and the physical part happens, emotions come out anyway, and then he has a tendency to want to pull away. So you're actually trying to do things in a different way where he won't pull away like that.
Right. Do you get the feeling that if we do go there intimately, that it would change the whole, like, you know, like, what do you feel would happen if we, because, I mean,
I get the impression if it happens before the end of the year, yeah, it will definitely change the thing drastically.
In a good or bad way?
I get the impression in a bad way. because you have to look at the situation of a person getting there and having this final, ooh, I got there. But not really taking any kind of consideration, because you get the impression he has feelings, but he needs to take in consideration of those feelings too as well.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like, look at the situation. If you're not willing to go there, take the responsibility of what happens afterwards, then don't go there at all. There is a difference, because I mean, I've done the same thing myself. I know for a fact if I'm going to go there, it's because I have all intentions of being here and this relationship and the duration, longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens after the fact, I'm prepared. Whatever it is. You know, sometimes I might question, you know, they took off. Well, they don't do that. You know,
right.
It happened that way. But, you know, at the same time, there's also been some very positive things that have happened after the fact, too, as well.
So you're saying if we go there, then I have to be prepared for what happened, you know, what's to come after that.
Yeah. Okay. It's like getting to the point where he pushes it to you. He does get what he wants, and afterwards, if he has a tendency that he wants to distance himself, then the consequence of his actions when you distance yourself from somebody, they don't trust you anymore. You get to the point where they don't want to go there anymore. And that's his, and you realize that because of what he did, not because you, of what you did with him. As long, like I said before, if you're prepared for whatever happens afterwards, and then if he gets closer to you and you're ready for that, you're like, look at the whole thing, I want the relationship, so therefore I'll do that. If he goes there and distances himself, then he has the tendency, he's still in the questioning phase of does he really want a relationship or not. And I like to sit down with guys and go, you know something? You're sitting there saying, I don't know if I want to be in a relationship or not. And the idea of being intimate like that, that was a relationship. So you already made this decision unconsciously. And all the person wants you to do is to keep going forward, to keep that going
yeah.
on. And you're sitting there saying you don't know if you want to be in it because you wasn't sure about the situation in the first place. So you want to sit there and say, well, give me some time. Why should we? You definitely didn't take in consideration the other person's feelings, did you?
Cool.
Or you would have cautioned yourself before you went there. Now you got to sit there and deal with the whole thing. But now you want us to give you the space to sit there and figure out what you want to do when you should have done it way before this even happened. Because women have a tendency to go, okay, this is happening. They're thinking that he's committing to them because of this intimate act.
Yeah.
When he doesn't, it sets off a blood. It sets off confusion. Plus, it also makes the person doubt themselves. What they, you know, what's the first thing we usually do in a situation like that? We're harder on ourselves. What did I do wrong? But it could be just simply the ideal. What did you feel before you got into the situation? Maybe you should have listened to that, not go on any further. No matter what he did or what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sign. Is he taking any kind of consideration of what you want?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I can certainly, like, if I change my mind, like, he's changed his mind before, but not doing it because he did, but if I change my mind and say, hey, you know what, I changed my mind about us spending time together and being intimate. And, you know, then that maybe will teach him a lesson. You know, maybe he'll see how I felt when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel good, you know.
Well, it's like one of those things, too. You know, like if you sit there and look at the situation that's been happening before the end of the year, and then it's a bad thing. If you, like I said before, the longer you put it off before it does happen, it does change the outcome. Or the longer you put it off, put it back, get to know each other, you have more of a chance of having a better positive outcome.
The thing is that I didn't know that he tried to call me, you know, Friday because my phone was off.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him to spend time with him, which, you know, that was pretty much, I was doing that because I hadn't heard from him. So I wanted to, you know, have an opportunity to spend some time with him next weekend, not knowing that he was the one that tried to call me Friday. And maybe if I would have held off a little bit, then he would have probably tried to call again. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I didn't know that at the time. If I would have known that, you know, I would have never called him. You know what I'm saying? I guess I take it personal. You know, I take it to the heart when I'm such an amazing person. I'm not perfect or anything like that, and I don't ask for too much, but for a person to be real and for them to not bring that, I mean, I know people have free will, but for them to not bring that back, you know, give me back the same, you know, love and respect that I give them, I take it personal.
Right.
So, and the more I feel like I don't hear from him, the more I feel like, you know, it's just going to fade like the rest of them.
Right. No, I hear you. I'm just saying with the situation. Sounds like, so don't put too much into it, you know? Too much thinking can drive you crazy, too.
Right.
What you want to do is you want to look at the situation for what it is. When he does certain things and he has a tendency to distance himself from you, of course, he's having problems with the situation, dealing with what's going on between the two. That should be taken into consideration.
What you're saying is he's not being honest. He's not being honest about how he really feels.
Yeah. He's definitely not expressing it, I'll tell you that. That definitely needs to be taken into consideration, too. Try to point. Okay. Always.
Wow.
No,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just looking at the situation you're talking about. I think so. When we start thinking about it too much, trying to figure out the scenarios. I mean, I had a reading with a guy tonight who was asking about if a girl was involved with somebody else, and I was like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of focusing on what you want, the outcome that you want, and, you know, what's your perception on the situation. Start putting other information in there. You can actually hinder you from getting what you want, but you're going to start thinking about, why would she do that? If she really cared about me, why'd she do this, this, and this? See? And it changes the whole format.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that. We want to put things in perspective here. The process of focusing on the positive outcome of what we're looking for. You can't do that with everything else being put in there. Sometimes our curiosity makes us go there to get that kind of information again. And next thing you know, there's so much clutter, because you've heard the term before, fear of the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
So you've taken on too much. We have taken on too much. Okay.
I know.
We have too much stuff to think about. We need to clear the clutter. That's what we want to do. But we can't do that. Everybody telling us. Well, because, I mean, I've had situations, too, where I have someone giving me information, and it just seemed like it did nothing but keep me from where I really want to be at.
Yeah, because remember I was telling you, you know, people were saying, like, my friend, they said, oh, he's not into you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that into you, not interested in you. He's a liar. Yeah, like one of my friends, she's like, you need to read his book. It's called "He's Just Not That Into You," and there's another book. And I was just like, oh no, she's dead. You know, like really. I'm like, if I would put up with half the crap that you would put up with a man, maybe I would have one.
Mm-hmm.
But you have one because you put up with a lot of shit that I won't put up with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then here you are telling me I need to read that book. Like, don't know. I mean, I know what you tell me. You tell me, you know, he's just dealt with those feelings. But I've had people that have dealt with those feelings before, and they just didn't come to terms with it, and they just left it alone. But like I said, he called, you know, he called finally, but my phone was off. So it's like, I'm wondering, you know, what the universe is trying to say. Like, okay, he wants to call when my phone is off. You know, that says something. Like, okay, what a coincidence. Is that a coincidence that the day my phone got turned off, that's when he tried to call? Because I wouldn't, I know that he tried to call me because he knew that my phone was off.
Yeah.
And how would he know that if he didn't try and call?
That's true.
So, when you tap into his energy, where is he at with the whole thing? Is he excited about coming to see me this weekend, and he expects the intimacy? Where do you feel he's at right now, still in the same space?
Where is he what? Sorry.
Still, like, just in the same space where he doesn't know what to do, or do you feel like he may be making no baby steps?
I don't know. It's one of those situations where you look at somebody and says he knows what to do. It's just the idea of giving somebody a push.
Right.
You know? Like
but
I said before, it's like one of those situations, you look at the situation and just say, hey, patience, it'll play out. Hold back and really don't do anything to the first of the year as in anything else that goes along with that.
So nothing, no contact, no nothing until the first of the year.
Well, it's one of those things that's up to you about the contact because of asking yourself, honestly, if you can actually keep yourself from going there. If you can't, then best thing to do in this situation is keep yourself out of any kind of temptation. Either way you go with the situation, I'm just saying, with me personally, when you look at the situation of physical intimacy, the longer you hold off, push it back, the better chance of the result of actually having a real relationship with this guy. Things more practical.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? But, yeah,
okay.
I see a good thing going on, okay?
Okay, well, I have to stand him up this weekend because I kind of invited him to see me this weekend, and then I just have to stand him up.
Right.
I'm pretty sure his feelings are not going to be hurt. He did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be fine.
I'm just saying with the situation, I would just like to get out of it.
You would do what? I'm sorry, I didn't get that last part.
No, I'm just saying with the situation, if you don't feel like you can do that, then I would keep myself away from the situation until after the first year and then resume. So I just feel like either way you go, you're going to get a good reaction of him actually wanting to come after you. It's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So you can actually look at the situation of somebody saying, okay, you're going to do this or not? And then you go, leave it alone. And then the person comes after you, which definitely shows you intent that he really wants to be with you.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You said he needs a push, but sometimes when people are pushed, it's worse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, there's this young lady that she wants to be intimate with me. She likes me.
Really?
And yes, and you know, at first it was just, you know, a casual, hey, how you doing at the bus stop with the kids? And then it went from, you know, hey, I think you're, you know, kind of cute. You know, would you like to, you know, do this, do that? And I'm like, not that, it's just not in me right now.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Right, it's not in me. And I definitely don't want to hurt her feelings and make her feel bad about, you know, her decision for liking me or wanting to be me and sympathy. So, you know, it's like,
I haven't. You look at the situations, you know, you got to look at the situation too. We can put ourselves in a situation like, well, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We also have to look at the situation too, right? If we hurt their feelings, we're not really hurting their feelings. We're just getting it back. The rest of it's up to them.
Right. I mean, I've expressed to her that, I don't know if I'm sending mixed messages, I don't know, but I was just like, you know, I don't, I'm not really into chicks like that, you know, I'm not really, it's not in me. If it was in me, then maybe, yeah, but it's not in me. And I just look at it as the same situation with dealing with him. You know, maybe it's not in him right now to have a relationship and he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. But it's just that I see it as the same way. Like, I really would enjoy being around this girl and hanging out with her, but not in that way. You know? And I feel like, given the opportunity, if I was around her, if I put myself in a predicament to be around her, she would probably go for the kill, you know? She would probably go for it, you know, give me a little push. But then I'd have to, let her down, and I don't know how, you know, how that's going to feel. Being in, you know, being in the same room with her and then her making her move and then me saying, you know, putting her down, you know, it could be a fight or it could go either way, you see what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to put myself in that predicament to, you know, to go there with her. So, I don't know, I guess I was just using it as an example. Like, I don't want to hurt her feelings. So, it's flattering. It's flattering. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's flattering for, you know, to be attracted by the opposite sex and the same sex. But I can't find myself to be with another girl like that.
Right.
So.
Makes sense.
But that was pretty much
that is freaking weird.
I don't know if you have other callers or not, but
you can sit and go 904, are you there? 904. I don't know what happened. Maybe they're on mute or something. I have to go myself, literally.
Okay.
I've been on the air for close to 3 hours.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm looking forward to doing that private session, too, okay?
Okay. One day.
One day. We're waiting.
Yeah, I need to. It's something that I needed to go.
Right. I'm just saying, with the situation stuff, we can understand the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a chance, I'm sure you'll do it. So therefore, like I said before, we have the opportunity to sit down with you and do that work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just got to go. I've been drinking a lot of fluids to keep my throat. I'm in the process of drinking too many fluids.
All right, well, I'm going to say good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you, and like I said before, try not to go anywhere with a situation of physical intimacy. The idea of work on that relationship, even if he doesn't want you or not, but I feel like if you take it that far, you get bad results if you hit for the first year, if you fall into temptation, you still have a chance of having a better outcome, okay?
Okay.
All situations where you don't want to go. Definitely don't go there. Listen, we have a tendency to put ourselves in situations like that, too, where we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We have a tendency to do what we wouldn't normally do, not realizing we're compromising ourselves.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
All righty?
Oh, all right. Good night.
Good night to you, too. Thank you for calling, all right?
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, that's our show for tonight. You guys all have a good night, and may God and angels bless you every minute of every day. If you want to take advantage of our incredible rates, $33.33 for a 60-minute reading, $22.22 for a 40-minute reading, and $11.11 for a 20-minute reading. And if you want to get a life coaching session or maybe just a little more time, you can also get a 90-minute session for $77.77. Give us a call at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website,